about.
Señor?
What?
They're ready for you.
Make them wait.
But I think they're really, really ready.
I said make them wait. It's good for them.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Come on, keep blowing.
Kevin and Bean.
And Anderson?
Love it.
Good morning. This report is brought to you by... I'm going to have to start over because I am retarded.
Right from the start, I had a bad feeling about that gig.
And now...
My fellow Americans, I pose this simple question to you. Are you better off now than you were when this disappointing show began?
Our feature presentation.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to go with no on that
I'd
one.
Have to agree.
And the show just began.
And you won't be better off when this disappointing show ends either. So it's not like there's
so. Today,
not like there's an upswing.
I think today they might be, though.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Today's a little different.
All right. You know. Hey, real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Kevin and Bean listener Sarah, who just tweeted, you know you're up way too early when you wake up and the Kevin and Bean show has yet to start. Hurry up, you guys!
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Just for her.
That is a good sign. That is a decent sign, though, that you know.
If the overnight show is still on when you get up, you may have troubles with your life.
You need to change your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. That wasn't creepy.
That wasn't meant to be creepy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to be creepy.
No, you never tried to be creepy, but that wasn't.
Lisa spent the... I just understood, if I heard correctly, what you were telling Beer Mug, that you spent hours at the radio station yesterday trying to trap a feral cat?
Yes.
What about Kevin's advice, which is get a weapon?
I don't know what's happened in my life. I'm not even a cat person.
Right.
But this new kitten showed up about a month, maybe 5 weeks ago, and
here
it occurred
at the radio
to
station?
Me, yes, okay. And it's very sweet and friendly. It almost seems like maybe someone just dumped it, you know?
Right.
Oh, you don't think it's one of the feral ones that lives out in the forest?
It's way more friendly than that.
Well, who would have brought? You mean somebody that works here?
No. Oh, okay. No, just someone in the area. Anyway, it's not fixed, and all the other cats are, and all we need is more kittens running around. And I thought, crap. Someone's got to do something and no one else is going to do it. So I got to somehow trap this cat and get it fixed. And then I started
seeing you trying to trap a cat.
Give me a big net. There's a humane trap. And this woman that gave me the trap was like, it's really hot. They're never going to go in the trap. It's too hot. They didn't do anything when it's hot. And I'm thinking that cat's going to go right in the trap. It's super friendly. It's going to go right in. And it did. Except I didn't set the food far enough back because I'm a freaking idiot. And the trap closed on sort of the back half of the cat. He just backed right out and then wouldn't come back. And
wow.
I spent another like 2.5 hours here trying to get him to go back in.
Did you really spend 2.5 hours here yesterday trying to trap a cat?
And now I have to come back on Wednesday and try again.
What?
I know.
Why Wednesday?
It has to be Wednesday because there's such a thing, Kevin. You can't believe the thing. There's people that fix them for free, but they don't transport them, and I can't take it in the morning between 7 and 8:30.
Right.
You have to take it in between 7 and 8:30. So there's another group of people that will transport it for you, but but there are appointments that have to be made.
Wow.
So the next appointment is Thursday, so I got to trap it on Wednesday and get it to the transport person so they can take it in on Thursday.
How about if I take care of it before Wednesday?
And by take
Kevin
care
can
of
take
it,
care of it in 30 minutes.
I think we've learned that's not a good idea. This is insane.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I applaud your dedication to the effort. Now, is the plan
I think it's a waste of time.
Well, she's trying to prevent there being 400 cats in the parking lot.
I would think you
would applaud that somebody's doing something about it,
sure.
Right? Is the plan, Lisa, to then bring it back and let it loose again to hang out with the other fixed animals, or is it to try to send it someplace where it can then get adopted?
Well, there are a couple of people here that are actually interested in adopting it, maybe. So, and it's super friendly, so it really is adoptable. It's just if somebody wants to, and if they don't, then you release it back, because it's not having a bad life, I must tell you.
If you think it was a pet at some point and somebody just let it loose and it's super friendly, why won't it come up to you so that you can pick it up?
It's friendly enough that you could almost pet it, but you can't pick it up. You would be ribbons if you tried to pick it up. So it's
another great thing about cats.
Yeah, it's going to take some work and some coaxing, but it definitely could become
what?
Yes. If anybody could help me with the coke, I can get the cat.
I am a cat lover and I love to run. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about cats again. I really love cats.
You need to call her.
I'm thinking about cats again. And again. I think about how many don't have a home.
Yeah, Lisa wants to hug every cat in the world.
The woman that gave me the trap, by the way, is so over me already. I don't know if they're inundated or it's just hot and she was cranky, but she's like, have you ever trapped cats before? I was like, no. And she's like, she's got like a garage full of cats.
See, that's the industry that should be encouraging you.
Yeah.
If those people aren't encouraging you.
I know.
What's the point?
I know. It's almost like she verbally slapped me.
Don't be dumb, she's telling you.
Amateur.
I know I should have some. I think about how cute they are and how their ears and the whiskers and the nose. I just love them and I want them and I want them.
All right, here's the answer, and it all ties together nicely. Kat should bring in her dog.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going.
And that would take care of the whole problem.
That would, quote-unquote, again, take care of it.
Yes, it would. No, quote-unquote, it would take care of it.
But I will say, those people that do all this stuff are really, I mean, they're good people, and they work really hard, and they they volunteer all their time.
They're just tired of your BS.
They're just sick of me, exactly. Well, and then
so
I had to
close.
Call and say, I failed.
Wow.
I failed to follow the instructions.
I just love them, and I want them to be on a rainbow, and in my bed, and I just want us to roll around.
You want them to be in a rainbow?
I would, someplace else, a rainbow somewhere else.
Yeah.
That would be good.
But let me just follow up one last time with Bean's question. So when you're done, and nobody wants the cat, you're going to release the cat back into the parking lot?
Yes.
That seems like a bad plan.
If the whole point
is to have fewer cats, even if it's fewer by one, why not take advantage of putting it somewhere else?
Because if nobody wants it, it gets put down.
Right, but is...
And it's fine.
I know that's difficult for you to hear.
No. It's fine. It's not sick.
It's having
they get fed. I'm not the only one. There's a couple of different people. They get fed. They get water. Feral cat communities survive very healthily all over the place.
Couldn't he survive somewhere else, though?
Where else?
Anywhere.
Mars.
Bean, you wouldn't put him down, though.
No, put him down either. I wouldn't put a healthy... Well... It's easy to say in principle I would find someone to adopt it because that's the ideal ending to the story.
Right.
But there's so many cats out there that need to be adopted. How do you get the attention, you know, for your cat?
Right.
I don't know. It's a tough one. I wouldn't bring him back to the radio station. I do know that.
But then the option is put him down or release them
someplace else. Yeah.
I can't take him to my house. He'll kill Boner.
Lisa,
yes.
We got to move on from this,
right.
But the answer is in front of your face, and that is you release him in Kevin's yard.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's
You
the
make
answer.
Him Kevin's neighborhood cat. That's the answer.
No problem. I'll take care of
sure
it.
Sure, he'll be.
I'll
Once
take care
again.
Of it. Like Bean's neighbor. No worries.
All right.
Cats suck.
No, they don't suck. It's not my...
I love cats.
I think cats
I
are
love
cool.
cats. I do. But I don't own one, them. But I love them.
Yeah, they suck. Let's be honest. They look at you like you shouldn't exist. And that cat was mocking you.
Well, that is true.
You were just trying to help it. How much time did you spend helping that cat?
Probably about 4 hours.
4 hours. And it avoided you and laughed at you and probably went and told all its feral cat friends.
I am the laughing cat stock.
Yes, you are.
I'm sure that's true.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You better believe I'm DTF.
Yeah, that was disturbing. On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we have LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore.
Excellent.
Very excited about that. We have a possible... was there much on the MTV Awards to recap?
Well, I mean, it was terrible, if that's what you're asking me.
I mean, it wasn't...
Not much, I don't think. No.
I think they need to trap that show and release it into the wild.
There were very few high points you could name.
Correct.
But I think I'm sure Ralph will have more on that coming up in the Showbiz Beat here in a few minutes.
You had to deliver a baby. We're going to talk about. Oof. This is a bizarre, bizarre thing, but it happens occasionally where, you know, the woman's not where she wants to be and she's not in the hospital and things start happening. And the story we were talking about was a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Delivering the baby.
Who did great.
Yeah. All right, I need you to deliver the baby. If I'm 12, I'm like, no.
He's boiling water. He's getting towels. He's right. Getting scissors and clamps.
He's so much better than me.
But I do think, and I mentioned this last week, I do think if it's your mother who's calling out to you in pain and the baby's coming, you're going to do everything you can to help her. Whether you want to or not, whether you think you're prepared to or not, I feel like your instinct to help kicks in.
And it sure sounds like, if you read the news, a lot of babies are born on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Sure seems like there are a lot of people on their way somewhere, anywhere, maybe to the hospital. And the baby has just decided it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. So we'll take your calls coming up in the next hour. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com talking about all the celebrities over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a breakfast this morning. As it is a morning show, we have a breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yay!
So that will be very good.
Yes.
That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Here's a guy we haven't seen in about 2.5 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman to the studio.
Or 3 days, depending on how you count them.
Well, and then the weekend on top of that, so it feels like it's been at least a week. That was a compliment, Ralph. That was me saying, we haven't seen you in a long time. Welcome back.
Ah, I see.
Don't try to turn it into a bad thing.
Okay, I won't. Boy, how about that Hurricane Irene, huh? How about those people? They're wet.
I wouldn't want to be one of those people waking up that has water up to the middle of my door, but at least it wasn't as bad a storm as people predicted it might be.
Yeah.
It's bad if you're affected, though, that's for sure. Yeah. Those millions were.
I was watching one of my favorite neighborhoods in my hometown of Philadelphia under a couple feet of water. And then I saw two drunk guys get into a raft and just start cruising around the streets. And I said, those are my boys.
That's right.
And then I saw the Philly PD pull up in a van and arrest those two guys and throw them in the back of a van.
Oh, good.
Oh, I said, oh, come on. Those are my boys.
Now they're your boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird how often you saw a reporter from CNN or Fox or whatever channel you were watching who was out there struggling in the surf, you know, and he's out there with the heavy weather gear on and it's windy and he's doing his report about how dramatic it is. And then tourists would just stroll behind them, like wearing shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, you know, drinking a smoothie. And you're like, well, what's the real story here?
Yeah. Great Philly. Those cops were watching the live broadcast and saw the guys in the raft and got in the van and went down to where they were broadcasting.
Why, what were they doing? Were they taking stuff?
Just goofing off?
They were in an
inflatable, like one of those...
that against the law?
Like a lifeboat kind of raft, you know, and they had paddles, and they were goofing around in the middle of the street that was underwater.
Right.
So the cops showed up and arrested them for obstruction of...
Water.
No, for being in a... obstruction of a roadway or something like that. It's like, yeah, you're stopping a lot of cars when it's 3 feet underwater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was bummed out for those guys. But it really affected the box office because we look at that every Monday morning. But before we get to that news, I do want to give out some tickets while we're talking about movies. Advanced tickets for an advanced screening of a movie called Creature. This is my kind of movie because, you know, I was one of the stars of Sharktopus.
Sure.
Creature is a movie which takes place in New Orleans. And apparently in the swamplands of the Louisiana Bayou, there is a creature. Hence the title of the movie.
Uh-oh.
Creature. So think Creature of the Black Lagoon, only in this case, think like Creature of the Louisiana Bayou.
So they're not sure what it is?
But it's not good, yeah. I'll tell you that much. If you'd like to see this creature feature before anybody else, we have tickets to the advanced screening of Creature on Thursday, September the 9th. It's in theaters everywhere. I'm sorry, the screening's on the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere on September the 9th. If you'd like to go, first two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers get a pair of passes to see Creature. All right, let's talk about the weekend box office. As I mentioned, was severely affected by Hurricane Irene. I mean, a lot of theaters on the East Coast were pretty much closed for the weather event.
I heard about a third of the theaters in the country were closed, Ralph.
Yeah. Wow.
So the numbers are not what the studios would have liked, naturally. However, The Help continued to dominate the box office, coming in at number one yet again. $14.3 million made it so. Then Columbiana,
The new movie starring Zoe Saldana came in at number two with $10.3 million. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, the new Guillermo del Toro horror movie with Katie Holmes, $8.7 million in its debut, made it number three. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was fourth. Our Idiot Brother came in at number five with just $6.6 million. Then Spy Kids 4D, The Smurfs, Conan the Barbarian, Fright Night, and Crazy Stupid Love, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Beyonce is pregnant. Alert the media. Oh, actually, she already did. She confirmed that she is with child on the black carpet at Sunday's MTV
Video Music Awards. Why the carpet got to be black?
Because last year it was a white carpet, and so they have to be fair.
Do we know who the father is?
I believe it is a gentleman named J-Z. J-Z.
Dash is his middle name?
I think it is. Okay. J-Z.
Okay.
I think it's spelled S-Z-C-R-R-I. The R's are silent.
He's an up-and-coming rapper, I hear.
Apparently
he's trying
to
glom on to Beyonce's fame, try to get a music career out of this.
So funny, a few months ago, she told Piers Morgan on his show on CNN that she wanted to wait until she was 40 to have a baby so that she could get all of her career stuff sort of exactly where she wanted it before she started having children.
Okay.
She is 29.
How'd that work out?
And a liar, mm-hmm. apparently, is what she is. So congratulations to the Z's. I guess. While we're talking about MTV and the Video Music Awards, Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is not a big fan. He tweeted this weekend, "The VMAs, one day a year when MTV pretends to still care about music. I'm drawing a line in the sand. F you, VMAs," he wrote. Ha!
They weren't up for anything?
No. Although Maroon 5 did win Best New Artist 7 years ago, and they've never performed at the event, although they've been asked.
Well, they're too white to perform now. They wouldn't allow them to. But it is true that you've never seen any of these videos before that are nominated for any of the awards because they're not on TV anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you go out of your way to track them down online, there's not a convenient place like there used to be to see them all the time.
Does MTV 2 play them or no?
I get they might, but even that's programming
MTV's
is so scattershot.
Five, MTV 5. You have to go down to the
5.1.
MTV Cinco, they call it.
So you're not actually rooting for any of these videos anymore because you haven't fallen in love with any of them, if you've seen them at all.
However, you get to root against people when you watch the VMAs, which is always fun.
Sure.
Sadly, I didn't have any luck. Justin Bieber won for Best Male Video for You Smile. His smash hit, You Smile. Anyone?
No.
You Smile? No.
No, it's a good song, but a boring video, and it's just a proof that he got... I mean, he's Justin Bieber, so he won. I mean, there were some really, really... I can't remember now what else was in that category. Do you have it, Ralph?
No.
But there were some other videos in that category that were really exceptional. Yet, you know, it's just... The whole show. We may have to talk about it more after the top of the hour, because it really was nothing but a constant disappointment, one right after another.
Please don't.
But at least Justin Bieber was wearing that ridiculous outfit. And, ridiculous.
And brought a snake. What the F?
He's just a dick.
He really is.
He's just a little dick. I just want to just slap him. I wouldn't even waste the time to punch him. I would just slap his little girl face and say, "Get out of my way, you little dick."
And what's your guys' take on people who wear glasses for fashion when they don't need them?
Same.
Oh, for God's dick. Sakes. Same. Yes.
Bieber, when he won his award, thanked God and Jesus, so score one for the atheists. Katy Perry won Video of the Year for Firework. Female Video of the Year was Lady Gaga's Born This Way. New artist, Tyler, the Creator, with Yonkers. What planet am I on? Where do I live? Tyler, the Creator, is getting all the heat.
You live in this world where Tyler, the Creator, is the best new artist.
He's a thing, yeah.
Britney Spears won for Best Pop Video. Foo Fighters, now they're finally a name I recognize, won for Best Rock Video for Walk. Nicki Minaj, she won for Best Hip Hop Video. Katy Perry, Best Collaboration Video. We featured her and Kanye West in her video E.T., which I was very disappointed, by the way. There's no kids on bicycles that fly.
No,
there's nothing. I watched that, and I said, I can't wait for Elliot to help him phone home. Nothing. Nothing that I expected happened. Yeah. And Best Video with a Message, my new favorite category in the VMAs. Best Video with a Message was Lady Gaga's Born This Way, which shows you they created that category just to give Lady Gaga another award.
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's what happened there. I think Adam Levine may have something. F the VMAs. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Carla Gugino. Hey, how you do? How you do, Carla Gugino? She is 40 years old today. John Hensley from Nip Tuck played the son on that show. Gave himself a circumcision, if you remember that show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You remember that episode.
Ugliness. Yeah.
Poor kid was just bleeding out. Just not how you want to roll.
Don't do that.
He's 34 years old today. Actress Lea Michele from Glee is 25 years old. Oh. Rebecca De Mornay.
Ooh.
Still can think of her riding the subway with Tom Cruise, if you know what I mean.
Is that code?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Risky business, if you've ever seen that. She's 52 years old. And Robin Leach. Remember Robin Leach?
Lifestyles. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Does he still do that?
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I do not believe that show is still airing, but for a while there, it was a very popular program.
Michael and Shakira Kane drinking champagne on their yacht. They're bathing in it. They're so rich.
He is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That band right there is back, ladies and gentlemen. They are called Bush. Kevin and Bean, hey, that's us. Have a Bush bash coming up at a super secret location. We will give you details coming up later on today after our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers that starts next hour. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you, man?
What up?
How did you get to go to the MTV VMAs?
I was lucky enough to be at the VMA roundtable, and some tickets just happened to appear in my hand.
And did they happen to appear in your hand because nobody wanted to go to the show?
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's funny. You know, it even took me some talking to you to go. Like, Omar's like, just go. You know you're going to want to go. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I just went.
Well, we talked about this last week, how the MTV Video Music Awards used to be a huge deal. It used to be a very exciting show that everybody looked forward to. But the last couple of years, and this year more than ever, I think, there was no buzz whatsoever on it. And I think some of it was that there was no host. I mean, let's face it. We'd all want to tune in if, you know, Chris Rock was hosting or something like that we could, you know, knew was going to be great. Or if they had advertised some sort of, you know, spectacular musical collaboration with two people who have not worked together. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things they could have done to drum up interest.
You know,
none of that was happening.
Yeah, I still think it's a big deal. It's just not for us. Because
certainly not for us, yeah.
There is no rock, you know.
There's no rock. But but you and I both, Dave, we like a lot of pop and we like a lot of rap, and it's still a crappy show. I tuned in early for the pre-show, and Selena Gomez was co-hosting the pre-show with Sway. And by the way, how is Sway still on that channel? Has that guy ever had an interesting thing to say at all, ever? So Selena Gomez is hosting, and Britney Spears comes up to be one of her guests on the pre-show. Now, it's a big night for Britney Spears. She's getting the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. There are a lot of things you take that minute with Britney to talk about, reflections on her long career. Here's how the interview went before the VMAs, about 10 minutes before the show started, with Selena Gomez taking valuable use of her time with Britney Spears.
Welcome back to the 2011 VMA pre-show. There's still a bunch of celebrities making their way in, but now let's welcome someone who always knows how to rock the carpet, pop superstar and VMA icon, Britney Spears.
By the way, the kids never stop screaming on the pre-show and never stop screaming. What do they do? What do they put in their water to make them scream for 5 solid hours so that nobody can hear anything anyone say?
Dude, you know MTV, that's what they do, is they hire extras. I'm not exaggerating.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's true.
And then they have coaches.
Everyone around the stage is just, they're just hyped
up. All extras, yeah. And they're supposed to scream and throw their hands in the air like they just don't care.
Yeah, they do.
You look beautiful. Okay, so now you're a big inspiration to me and a lot of other people, and VMAs are giving you a huge tribute. How does that feel? So I know a lot of people are excited to see you here, but who are you?
By the way, I know you couldn't hear Britney because either she wasn't holding the mic properly or there was some malfunction with the mic, but this interview is already half over, all right? Britney Spears took all the time to go on the pre-show. The interview you've heard is already more than half of it.
I'm just excited to see you.
I'm really interested in seeing Adele. I love her. I'm the biggest fan, so I'm really excited about seeing this career.
Well, you look amazing.
Well, thank
absolutely
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you
so much for coming.
There you go. That's the exclusive, hard-hitting sit-down with Britney Spears on her career. And the Britney segment on the show, her Video Vanguard Award, points to what my biggest problem with the show was, which is everything on the show was overhyped and underdelivered.
Yeah, it was half-assed.
Everything was half-assed. Yeah. I mean, everything. I mean, like the Britney tribute, they didn't show clips from any of her videos, by the way. They just did like 30-second live recreations with dancers on stage at like double speed. And yeah, the entire her
of like
entire
three songs.
Of three songs, yeah. Her entire tribute was over in like 90 seconds or something like that. And they didn't even give her a moment to, you know, they didn't even give her a moment to give a speech or anything like that because, well, our friend Lady Gaga needed to be in every scene all night long.
dressed as a boy named Joe Calderon.
She wasn't there. There was just some dude. I don't understand.
Some dude who wouldn't back away from Britney's microphone. Lady Gaga also opened the show in this character that we hoped we would only see one time in the evening. I'm just going to play you a very short clip of something that went on for very many minutes at the beginning and then all night long.
Lady Gaga, she left me. She said it always starts out good. And then the guys, meaning me, I'm one of the guys.
And then it just went on like that for several minutes, right, Kevin?
See, because she was dressed like a guy. And then I'm with Bean. Like, the first time I saw it, I thought, well, okay, swing and a miss. But at the very least, the one thing you know about the MTV Awards is that she's going to go backstage and change into something else, and then it'll move on. She was that way the entire night.
The whole night,
Every time she jumped back up on stage, she was that same stupid character. Dave, how did that play in the room?
You know what? It's funny. When she first came out, I was being moved around in my seats.
Right.
But I don't think anyone knew who she was because she just came out.
Right.
And so they didn't get it until she hopped on
the piano
and started singing You and I. And then everyone went crazy. But it seemed every time she popped up, it was just because it's Gaga, everyone went nuts.
You know what's funny about that?
Not just the MTV crowd. Yeah.
On TV, watching it on TV, they were going crazy from second one as soon as she showed up on the show.
Yeah, there's a hype man saying, hey, go crazy.
Of course.
But, you know, that was just the crowd that MTV has.
Right.
But the rest of the auditorium, the theater, was
silent.
Silent until she jumped on the piano and just everyone went crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I would think every time that character came back out throughout the evening, you would run for the exits because you knew that she was just going to ramble for 3 minutes and it wasn't going to be entertaining, it wasn't going to be funny, it wasn't going to be edgy, it was just going to be stupid.
But
I mean, I have a lot of respect for Lady Gaga and I think she's done an amazing job inventing and reinventing and reinventing herself. But that character's a dud.
But Bean, she tried to kiss Britney.
She did.
He tried to kiss Britney. He tried to kiss Britney.
Ralph mentioned Tyler, the Creator, who was a little bit of a surprise for me to win the Best New Artist. I'm not a fan of this whole Odd Future rap thing that they're doing. They're very profane, which doesn't bother me at all, but I don't think they're funny or all that interesting.
Or talented.
He's pretty likable. I don't mind Tyler, but you'd think as you listen to his speech for Best New Artist that maybe, I don't know, he could have prepared a little something when he won.
I'm excited as f*** now, yo. I wanted this since I was 9. I'm about to cry.
Okay, so he's obviously emotional, which is great. It's nice when somebody looks like it really means something to him to win an award. If you've been preparing or wanting something since you were 9, though, don't you have a kind of an idea, I mean, of something? Anything?
A rough sketch of something you want to say?
Something you want to say? Right.
I can't. I really can't believe I'm here right now.
Okay, got that.
I didn't write a thank you speech.
Oh, really?
But
good.
I don't know. To all the kids that's watching.
Yeah.
You can do this yourself. Be the golf wife. Thank you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope the kids got that message.
That happened throughout the entire show. There was so much cursing and so much dropping out of the audio that you couldn't understand most songs.
There was a lot of cursing.
Yeah. There sure was. And I don't understand. And by the way, we're not going to have time to play the hilarious Cloris Leachman comes out with the girls from the Jersey Shore because they got to do
that's who that was. Yeah.
They got to do Oscar winner Cloris Leachman, who's 85 or something like that, comes out and they got to do a wacky bit. And clearly, by the way, they wanted Betty White and she wasn't available. There's no question about that. But we don't have time for that. And then they do the thing that they do on all the award shows where they had Rick Ross, the rapper, come out with Paul Rudd. And we get confused for each other all the time. I mean, just the writing was lazy and it was just no one seemed prepared and it was nothing but hype. And I mean, even the Hunger Games trailer that a lot of people were really into, they hyped for a week that you were going to have an exclusive first look at the Hunger Games. Now, this is a beloved series of books that everybody can't wait for this movie to come out. The trailer was like, am I lying, Dave? It was like 30 seconds of a chick running through a woods.
And she's just walking through the woods. And then it came out of nowhere. Like, oh, look, there's something on the screen. Oh, it's the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And that's
Everything was hype. And let me close with, again, another reason why I was so disappointed in the show last night. I freaking love Lil Wayne, all right? I love him. And I was so excited to see him perform last night. And he came out and he did about a minute of a new song from the new album, which is out. And I'll buy it because I want to hear it on the record. But he did about a minute of him just mumbling his auto-tune. And then he broke into this rock thing, which was so stupid because, A, as you'll hear in a moment, how much swearing is in it. So what's the point of even trying to sing it on TV? But B, he would do things like pick up a guitar, strum it once, and then pick it up and smash it onto the ground because he's so exhausted and so caught up in the magic of rock because he played rock one chord on the guitar. The whole thing, like, it was all big hat, no cattle, wasn't it? Here's Lil Wayne with his closing performance from last night's VMAs. There it went.
Glad. And by the way, that it sounded like that with that many dropouts for the entire performance.
Yeah.
What's the point? Sweet. I mean, what's the point,
none.
Really?
I think MTV has fired everyone except for like one promo guy. So it's like one dude producing everything.
Well, stop it, MTV. Just stop it.
But at least that Kevin guy was funny.
Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Last week, we told you about a young boy, 12 years old, who's watching TV in his home up in Canada, don't you know? And his mom calls out and says, son. And he goes in and mom's pregnant, but has had no contractions whatsoever. No indication that this baby is anywhere near coming out. None of the warning signs that you have sometime to get to the hospital. That, right. The baby is coming now. And she says, you got to help. The kid's crowning. I mean, the top of the head is showing in the mom. Now, by the way, we didn't discuss this when we brought this story up last week. What does it do to that 12-year-old and his future sexual life now that he has seen his mother's vagina at his age?
It wrecks grown men. I don't know what it does to a 12-year-old.
Is he now terrified of private parts because of what he has witnessed?
No, so, I think he's probably fine. He's probably got the maturity of a 25-year-old.
Sure he does, right. Well, he certainly had something of a 25-year-old because he did not panic. He immediately started helping, and he eased the baby out. I guess there's some sort of a trick to it that you're supposed to grab the shoulders and then bring the first shoulder out and then the second shoulder. And somehow he was able to do it without any problem. Then without even being asked, he ran back into the kitchen, got a pair of scissors and got a potato chip clip bag, one of those deals to put on after they cut the umbilical cord. And the baby apparently is healthy and fine. And the mom said he watches a lot of TV. That's where he got it from. But the kid was not the least bit panicked, at least the way they both tell the story afterwards. He said, look, my mom needed help. I wanted to make sure that my baby brother was going to be okay, so I did what I had to do. And it's just one of those shocking stories, and lots of people are in that situation where I wasn't planning on delivering a baby today, but apparently that's what's happening.
This is one of those things where I look at other people and I think, wow, that kid is mature, or that guy really had it together. And I know for a fact I would fall apart. I'm not a baby deliverer. That's not in my description. And
but had your kids come at home, God forbid.
Yeah.
And let's pretend it wasn't twins.
Yeah.
You would have done what needed to be done in the moment.
I know I would like to think that, and I will and I will say that out loud. And yet in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, nope.
You're the guy who would walk out onto the street in front of your house and just start yelling for anyone to come help.
And then there was Nick Hexum. Remember when we had him in from 311?
And, yes, of course.
He was telling us about, they birth their babies at home on purpose, right. And that's their goal. And they have a nurse, a wet nurse? What do they call them?
Midwife. Midwife.
And he was telling us this story.
We do a home birth, and this second baby came so quickly that I ended up having to deliver it myself. The midwife didn't get there in time, and it was absolutely terrifying and then glorious when that baby came out okay.
Did you have the knowledge from the first time to know how to do it?
Yeah, I had watched a lot and really picked up a lot. I actually caught the first baby, but I had like supervisors there.
Right.
And this time...
He caught the first baby, by the way.
Did it just shoot out?
Yeah, what's happening? What speed did it shoot out? Did he have a glove? How did that work?
Did he meet his wife at the banana bar in Amsterdam?
What's happening?
She was shooting things at him?
The baby was like, I'm not waiting. Yeah. Sorry.
But it got halfway out, and just the head was out, and it didn't come any further, so I had to kind of, and the umbilical cord was wrapped around its neck, so I had to kind of reach in there and, like, rotate it around and help it out.
That's a little scary.
It was nuts.
my wife and I were just like laughing and crying afterwards, like, what just happened? Like,
yeah, that seems bad.
Over the course of the last couple of hundred years, by the way, we as a nation have become big giant wusses because all babies used to be delivered at home by family members at one time in this country.
Yes, and half of them died.
But people used to
do it. Okay, there's that side.
But I'm sure that we have listeners who have been involved in delivering babies, maybe on the side of the road, on the way to the hospital, maybe just you're in a 7-Eleven and, oh my God, it's time. But we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, we're looking for people who have actually done the delivery or people who have had the babies or people who were the baby that was being delivered. What do we want? Any combination?
Everything except for somebody who was the baby because they don't have much of a memory of that.
Okay, I just thought they might have heard a funny story of their own birth. But okay. All right, if you've been involved in delivering a baby, either as the mother or as the person doing the delivering, this should be interesting. We've never done this topic before, but we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about delivering a baby outside of a hospital. Maybe you're not even a doctor, but you had to deliver a baby. That's the topic on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with our man Christian on line 8. I think this may involve a freeway, Kevin, which is not really the ideal location for a baby, right?
No, it is not. Christian, hi.
Hi there, guys. About 7 years ago, we were pregnant with our second child. And we had moved 45 miles away, but still intended to deliver from Valencia to San Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to the due date, about 10 o'clock at night. She goes into labor. It's about 10, 12 minutes apart. I'm thinking, no big deal. Tomorrow we'll go to the hospital. Some point in the night, I wake up. I hear her say 3 minutes. And as you know, that means you're imminent danger here.
Right.
About to deliver. So I just wake up. I snap up. I'm all, we need to go. I'm practically pushing her out the door from Valencia to San Gabriel. I'm driving about 100 miles an hour. About halfway through in the Glendale Hills, she starts to unbuckle, and I'm thinking, oh, no. I call 911 thinking, what should I do? What should I do? She's about to give birth. I can't get the signal at this point. As I'm dropping down into the Crescenta Valley, I finally get a cell tower. They're like, you need to pull over. So I pull over. They're starting to describe to me what I need to do. They're like, get a towel.
They talked you through it.
You need to get a towel. Boil water.
By the way, let me interrupt you right there, Christian, for 1 second. I bet when you're a 911 operator, the first two lessons that you learn are how to teach somebody how to deliver a baby, how to teach somebody how to survive a heart attack. I bet those are the most, you know, some of the calls that they get all the time that they have to be prepared for.
Yeah, well, I was not prepared, and I started to pretty much go hysterical, as Kevin was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I got the flashlight, I got a towel, but all I remember at this point was saying, no, you need to get here, no, you need to get here, and that's all I kept repeating.
Sweet.
And so at this point, I could see the baby starting to crown at this point. The ambulance just pulls up at that point, so they walk over to the ambulance, and she pops right there.
Lucky
you. Oh, you're so lucky. Now, were you, if the ambulance had not gotten there, if you'd been further away, were you delivering this baby in the front seat or in the back seat?
In the front seat of a S10 pickup.
Wow. And did you think you would have been able to do it?
I was ready to do it, but I was like, Kevin, the worst, I was thinking, what if the cords around the neck, that's all I can think of is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, that just seems bad.
All I was focused on was the bad.
This baby's life should not be in certain people's hands, and Christian and me are two of those people.
There's no way you could clear-headed attack that problem right now. That's
you're
awesome.
By yourself in the middle of a street in the middle of the night, and that's where you're freaking out, is you're just by yourself.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I got you, man. I got you, but everything worked out all right. The baby was healthy. You guys are
baby's
good?
Healthy and fine.
And then you asked 911.
Baby's come out of the butt, right?
Clarified that for you.
Christian, thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate it. Let's try Jamie, line 1. Hi, Jamie. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, nothing. No, my friend had called me up, and she thought she was constipated. I'm like, you're in labor. She goes, no, I can't be in labor. Well, she was.
Now, wait a minute. So she's at least 8 months pregnant, right?
Yeah.
So I like the logical, no, I can't be in labor.
Right,
I like that.
She was a month early.
Ryan.
And, she wouldn't call 911, so I got up there, and, she was in labor.
And then you delivered the baby?
Yeah, well, the paramedics were on their way, but they were too late, and the baby was coming, so it was, I was real scared.
So, did you have any knowledge before then, or did you just play it by ear?
No, I mean, I have six kids, but
six?
I don't have any knowledge of any.
That's something. You need more than I got.
You need some knowledge of birth control is what you need.
Yeah, no, we're Catholic Irish. You know, what do I say? Okay.
Jamie, let me ask you this. Did your friend name the baby after you for being the one on the scene to deliver it?
Actually, his name is James.
Oh, there you go.
How about that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Okay. Let me close with this email from Kevin Amin Lister Jody. Hey, guys, I know someone who watched his wife deliver their third child. It grossed him out so much he could never have sex with her again. They are no longer together. Good times. You know, for some people, it's best to think about that, not that part of what happens down there. You know what I'm saying?
That's good for everybody, certainly.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:54.
Hey. That is Foo Fighters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ralph, please allow me 15 seconds from last night's VMAs. God bless Dave Grohl.
You know, I just want to say that you never lose faith in real rock and roll music. You know what I mean? Never lose faith in that. You might have to look a little harder, but it's always going to be there.
Amen. Amen. You can't find it on MTV, but real rock does, in fact, at least exist in the world. So congratulations.
They were the token rock band last night, and they won.
It was them and Young the Giant. That was it.
They won for Walk, their video. Right. So that was it.
Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Speaking of rock, coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Hey, Ralph. How are you, man?
Good. It's Monday, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hurricane Irene put a dent in the Showbiz coffers this weekend because a lot of theaters were closed up and down the Eastern Seaboard. 25% drop in revenue.
Wow.
Which isn't...
That's huge.
Good.
No.
If you work at a film studio.
Well, the economy's healthy, though. They can afford to take a hit like that.
The Help was number one at the box office, $14.3 million, second week in a row. It was number one. Columbiana, the new action film starring Zoe Saldana, $10.3 million, made it number two in its debut. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark debuted at number three with $8.7 million. Planet of the Apes was fourth. Our Idiot Brother came in at number five. Spy Kids 4, The Smurfs, Conan the Barbarian, Fright Night, and Crazy Stupid Love, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. This weekend, last night, of course, was the MTV Video Music Awards. Beyonce announced that she was pregnant on the black carpet during the pre-show interviews. And I'm glad she's pregnant.
Why?
Because now she will have a baby.
Right.
It seemed like there was going to be more to your answer.
I'm trying to think of a reason why I'm actually happy. But I was just thinking, I want now... Should Jay-Z and Beyonce ever to bitch about privacy for them to be hit with a ball-peen hammer right in the temple? Because you don't go and announce your pregnancy on national television and then get retroactively to bitch and complain that you're not getting enough privacy.
Yeah.
You don't get it both ways.
Yeah, they made a pretty big deal. And then when she was performing during the show, she showed her belly. And
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, they're the first couple ever to have a child, so I can see why it's a big media event. Oh, wait a minute. We just heard people were having them on freeways.
That's
and
right.
People were having them in cabs and phone booths. Apparently, a lot of people are having babies all over
the place. It's not very difficult to get pregnant or to have a baby.
It can be done. It's harder to have a successful marriage in Hollywood. So we wish the best to Sofia Coppola, daughter, of course, of Francis Ford Coppola, a director in her own right. She said, I do, to Thomas Mars in Italy over the weekend. He, of course, the lead singer for Phoenix. So she married a French dude in Italy. It's like the UN over there.
Yeah, what's happening?
That wedding. They got married in the hometown of her great-grandfather back in Italy. It's where Michael Corleone, of course, went to avoid being killed by the other five families, I think. That's where he fell in love. Everybody was there. Johnny Depp was there. George Lucas was there. It was a low-key event, yet star-studded, according to people who were there.
But that's possible to do both?
About 80 guests, a very small little town in Italy, and some very cool people showed up. So
it is crazy. I mean, even if you've grown up in the Coppola family, and I guess you're used to seeing these people, it must be shocking to look out at your reception and go, hey, there's George Lucas, and hey, there's Steven Spielberg, and, you know, I mean, it's just like one right after another. It's insane.
I was... stuck in airports and airplanes for the vast majority of my weekend.
Sweet.
And so I caught up on some movies that I hadn't seen before, which is something you can do when you're trying to kill time like that. And I finally got around to seeing, because Johnny Depp made me think of it, finally got around to seeing Alice in Wonderland, which I always sort of wrote off as a kid's movie, as sort of a goofy, you know, Disney flick.
That was a Tim Burton one, right?
Tim Burton directed Alice in Wonderland. What a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
I know it came out like a decade ago, but I caught up with it, and I thought Johnny Depp was really exceptional.
So thumbs up.
So I'm giving you the review for Alice in Wonderland.
If you're looking for a DVD.
I'm saying, if you're looking for a film maybe you overlooked and you want to check it out, Alice in Wonderland is my recommendation.
The first Die Hard is pretty good, too.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but apparently people are still talking about that.
Wait till you see Fargo. You're going to love it.
I've heard about this Casablanca, too. I'm going to look into that as well. It's very popular. Chelsea Handler is a talentless coke whore.
True.
I don't think that's true.
Maybe not, but there's evidence to the contrary. New York Post reports she was attending a party that her boyfriend, Hotelier, I don't know how you say a guy who owns a bunch of hotels, but his name is Andre Balzas. This is the guy who was also screwing around with Courtney Love. So you can see his taste in women is excellent.
Whoa.
He was throwing a party for his staff on some boat in New York. Sadly, it wasn't during the hurricane, so Chelsea Handler survived. But security found her locked away in a stall in the men's room with some dude who was only identified as wearing gold shoes when the bouncer had to throw them both out of the stall because of whatever they were doing in there.
No, it's
because
of his gold shoes.
Maybe it was his gold shoes. no word exactly what was going on in the stall, but it was... I think we can all safely assume it was some sort of transaction of sex for drugs. I think we can all safely assume that.
Well, that's an obvious conclusion to draw from the facts you've presented.
Just saying. Thank you, and now here's your favor. Today's celebrity birthdays. TV personality Robin Leach. This guy at one time was the hottest host on television. He was the Ryan Seacrest of his generation.
Sure.
He hosted a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which was the first really TV show just to rub our noses in it. That there were people out there drinking out of gold goblets, drinking the blood of endangered animals, and flying around in hovercraft yachts, and just hunting human beings on remote islands. They were living a lifestyle beyond anything we could imagine.
And they weren't apologizing for it all. Show just said, look,
they just
at
rolled
them.
Around in it like my dog Reggie finding a dead bird. Yeah, it was disgusting, but it was popular. He is 70 years old today, Robin Leach is. Rebecca De Mornay celebrates her 52nd birthday. You ever see that Hand That Rocks the Cradle? That's a good movie. That this weekend. You should check that out. Apparently, it was very
popular. On all the new ones.
Carla Gugino. Hey, how you doing, Carla Gugino? She's 40 years old today. John Hensley of Nip Tuck celebrates his 34th birthday. Leah Michelle from Glee celebrates her 25th birthday. She's still in high school. She's not that smart.
Yeah.
25, still in high school.
I'm worried when I give her the bell that Omar somehow is going to come through the microphone me.
I think I'm fine with the bell with her.
She's attractive, right?
Yeah, she makes whatever she's got work.
Yes.
And that is saying something. Anybody can win the genetic lottery, but to be attractive and sexy given her particular skill set, I think, is quite the achievement. So happy birthday, Leah Michelle. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Black Keys, another band, had several nominations last night. MTV Video Music Awards didn't win a damn thing. You know why? Because they're not rappers. All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Minutes away from our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. First, though, let's talk about the Arab Spring, Kevin. Let's talk about what's been going on in the Middle East here this last year and a half or something like that. Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Syria, Yemen, one right after another. They're just toppling their governments. People over there, they're fed up. They've had enough. They said, you've been running this thing for too long. It's time for us to put our people in. And now Libya is the latest one in the news. This is Gaddafi, who no one knows how to spell his name.
Yes.
He's been in power. He took over the government in a coup in 1969. He's been running the thing since 1969. And now they finally got him. They finally toppled him, and no one knows where he is.
They didn't topple him. This is what he said.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me, all. They will die to protect me and my people.
I don't think his people love him, and I don't think they'll die to protect him.
But well, all
there was
I know
going on in the in his castle or whatever
his
it is
big
he had.
Compound.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like with Saddam Hussein. They get into this place that, you know, is just, it's just a monument to himself with big gold statues and everything like that. And a crazy collection of things that people have found in the Gaddafi compound that nobody knew about because nobody's been able to get in there for decades.
Yeah, and we actually have him on the phone. I know.
What?
I believe he's in hiding, but Colonel Gaddafi?
Muammar Gaddafi? Are you kidding me?
Hey, my babies. How are you? How are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
It's great to hear from you again. How's everything going for you?
Well, very well. How about you? We're a little worried.
I've never been better. My people, they love me, and everyone will die for me. And it's so great to have so much love and so much dying.
Now, I saw on the news over the weekend that they were, you know, they were inside of your compound, and they were looting.
No, that's not the case. I'm fine. I'm in my compound. Everything is hunky-dory.
So they weren't taking chandeliers, and they weren't taking gold statues and all that stuff?
Oh, that was my summer compound. I don't even use that one. Oh. I'm in the main compound, my regular compound that I stay in all the time, that is much better than that old stupid compound. I was renting that out anyway. That's just the summer place I rent out for a little extra income on the side. I don't even care about that place.
Well, let me ask you about a couple of the things that we saw in the news, Colonel, if you don't mind. What's with the giant, and by giant, I mean like 14 feet tall teddy bears that you had in there in the compound?
What else can be up with the giant teddy bears? What more can you say about them? I'm a very sentimental guy.
Right.
I'm an old softie, and I love teddy bears. Who doesn't love teddy bears? You know, it's like...
Anyone over six?
How about the snuggle bear? Oh, he's so cute the way he softens your clothes and also he talks to you. I love that guy.
All right. What about the album full of photographs of former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice? This is weird.
Lisa.
Colonel, that's creepy. Come on.
Oh, Condoleezza. Bean calling me creepy. That must be creepy.
It is kind of creepy.
Well, you did call...
I'm Momar.
Yeah. You did call her your darling black African woman.
Oh, I love my Swahili babe. Yeah. I love my African honeypot. Now, I love her so much. She is so sexy and so powerful, the way she makes all the Arab men pay attention to her.
She does.
Oh, my Nubian princess. Oh, I want her to step on me in those comfortable, sensible shoes she wears.
Oh, no.
Yes. Make me your desert dog. Make me your camel of love. Make me your scorpion of sex.
We didn't realize that you were a scrapbooker, but apparently you're keeping a lot of photos of her.
Lisa. I long to visit the oasis that lies between those two black hills of love.
Were you able to ever profess your love to her? Was she aware that you loved her?
She won't answer my calls. Can you believe this?
Is that right?
And I sent her 47 14-foot-tall teddy bears. She keeps sending them back. She keeps sending them back. Now I got them in the back room, and I got no use for them whatsoever.
I see. You think that would melt any woman's heart?
Yes, a giant teddy bear. What more does she want?
All right,
what
I don't know.
What does she need besides like braces? The gap between her teeth.
I thought you found her hot.
Except for the gap, it's just odd. It's just strange. A grown woman with a gap, she's spitting watermelon seeds between her teeth. Okay. Very strange.
Okay, so you're okay though. Everything's cool with you.
Everything's great. Everyone loves me. I love everyone. My people, they will die for me. My people will go audition on X Factor for me. They'll do anything for me. They love me so much.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what the next chapter. But I have a feeling you're going to end up like Saddam Hussein, being hanged in a dungy air hanger.
Hey! Why are you going to be mean?
I'm trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just saying, see what's coming here.
That is out of line. Really? I don't like that kind of talk.
That was out of line?
Yeah, that's a little... You've crossed the line, I think. You've gone too far.
but we're still cool, right?
No, that's not cool at all.
No, wait, but we're cool.
No, we're not cool.
I thought we were cool.
Oh, forget it now. No, forget it. No, I'm going to go.
Oh, we've hurt his feelings. Come on, don't go away, man.
I'm going to go. I haven't seen last night's Jersey Shore yet. I'm going to go.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Morning, sunshine. Want to start your day with a nice bowl of Kevin and Bean
breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Well, heck yeah, why not?
All right, it is time for our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We'll be right back.
just like you. I'm more shocked you than anything I ever knew. How about you? Just like you. Oh, love that marvel shocked you with anything I ever do. Right on cue.
How about that, kids? The Red Hot Chili Peppers playing live here on The Breakfast with RHCP on The Kevin and Bean Show. Nice. Welcome, you guys. How are you? It's album release day.
Wow, is it?
It's like giving birth today. This is the big day you've been looking forward to.
We've been looking forward to this for so long that I think I'll actually miss the release itself. I'm probably going to sleep through it because I feel like it should have come out 2 months ago. So every day I've been waiting, and now I've probably missed the whole thing.
And then somebody will call you on Tuesday and go, hey, it went pretty well. Flea, what's it like for you on the day it gets put out?
It's truly a thrilling moment when it comes out. The thrill of that and the magic feeling of that has been like that for me from our very first demo tape, even though it never came out. But just the feeling of the music being such an interior thing from so long, from the first time of sitting down at a piano or over a guitar or whatever and writing, to slowly developing an idea with your close friends, and it still being this like our secret project, you know, this thing we're making, and all of a sudden it's out and people hear it, and it's just the craziest metamorphosis. It's really like an alchemic, wild feeling. I love it so much.
And I have to also imagine that no matter how long you do it, and you guys have been doing this a long time, you never get over the thrill of, hey, we get to make music for a living. This is like, it's such a blessing, right? This is your job.
It is. It's like a mother hen never gets over the thrill of sitting on her egg.
I've never asked one, but I'll take your word on that.
I'm a mother hen, so I know.
Okay. All right. We have to ask. We have many questions for you. It's been a while since we've had a chance to see you guys. 5 years since the last record, by the way, until I'm with you out today. Here's the important question that we just have to get out of the way because it's like the giant elephant in the room and everybody wants to know. What are you going to do if there's no basketball? I mean, what is your backup plan if the NBA strike, you know, the lockout happens and there's no season? What do you?
If that's the biggest giant elephant in the room, I think we're doing okay.
All right. Yeah, I was expecting something much more scary.
Yeah, like there's a war breaking out in Uzbekistan or something. But if it's just basketball, yeah. I think we'll live.
It's just higher.
I never thought I would hear you say just basketball.
Or like, you know, you're a weird-looking little guy. What are you going to do about that?
Hey, you know, we've already been planning on attending some high school basketball games.
Excellent.
Perhaps tuning into the college arts of basketball and figuring out what's going on with that.
Good.
And, yeah, just diverting your attention. If they don't want to cooperate and show up for the fans, then we'll find other places to occupy ourselves.
You'll be someplace.
Couldn't the NBA stars just sort of get together and do pickup games in colleges and parks? And
I like the pickup games.
I think they are.
That's going to happen. Now, let's some talk about that.
Let there be pickup games.
Red Hot Chili Peppers here. It's Breakfast With here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Many questions, many more performances to come. And you guys have a few of your own, right? Some questions you're going to be asking the guys, right?
Yes,
help us out.
Raising their hands. That doesn't help.
Doesn't help on the radio. Well, you're going to have your chance, too, when we return with the guys right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nice tiara.
You don't ask your parents for permission to rock.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh my God!
Yeah! Yeah!
Come on!
All right, easy.
Yeah!
It's Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow!
How about that? Come on now.
All right, why don't we start with the beginning on this new record, I'm With You, out today, available finally for sale. Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie might be a great place to start because that's the first thing that people heard from the new record.
Shocking.
Right? Shocking how?
Just shocking. I'm just throwing it out there. I like to see these words coming out of your mouth.
Rain Dance Maggie, as is usually the case with your songs, I've heard it a bunch. No clue what I'm listening to. Not a clue.
As is usually
the case. You're too deep for me. I know it means something, and it's cosmic and meaningful. What's going on?
Wait. Could you say that about the song, You Always Sing the Same? Can we sing him a little, You Always Sing the Same, just so he doesn't think that all of our songs are meaningless?
Okay, you go.
Go ahead.
You don't want to count it off?
I do the background vocals. One, two, three.
You always sing, you always sing, you always sing the same, you always sing, you always sing, you always sing the same, you always sing, you always sing, you always sing the same, you always sing, you always sing, you always sing the same, you always sing, you always sing, you always sing, you always sing the same.
That was nice.
I like the intensity of Flea on that one, man. He was really concerned that he'd be right on pitch, right on time.
But you know what I'm saying. We're dying to know what that song means to you. Like, what's going on in it? Because it has some great imagery in it. But you know, you're the guys who wrote it.
Yeah, it really starts off with a bass line. That's where that song sort of begins and ends, is with a deeply soulful, funky bass line that you just want to get inside of. You know, and that's what Flea brought to the table when we started writing that song, and we all just kind of hugged and cuddled in that bass line to the best of our ability, and until we found, you know, other colors and textures and beats to mingle with it, and it's kind of self-explanatory. It's a patchwork of imagery and feelings and, you know, wordplay and emotions and. You know, sing along and see how you feel.
How do most songs begin? Is it with one person that comes in with an idea? Maybe Josh comes in with an idea, and how does Josh change the chemistry of the songwriting?
All different ways. I'll come in with something. He'll come in with something. Anthony will just hum notes together, and one of us will put chords under, and Chad will just start playing something. All different ways, I think.
And it's funny. Like after the record comes out, people start hearing stuff. We get asked to explain it, you know, and for us, I think it comes from a place that is an inexplicable place because it truly does come from a magical source, you know, and we don't try to control it. We just let it happen. And I think for Anthony, lyrically, even, you know, there are narratives, but still, I think we're all just trying to make art. And I think it's our responsibility as making art to just kind of get out of the way and let it flow through us. And we can't always explain it perfectly.
Are you saying I should be embarrassed by my question? I should be ashamed?
No, I'm just
no shame. Now who's the moron over here?
He's the bass, and you're the effing moron. These guys, what's up?
Wait, last time I checked, the human finger was not a curse word.
No. Kevin, you were surprised and enraptured by the cowbell on the record. It was the happiest surprise of the year on the radio for you this year.
How did the cowbell come about on that song? I love it. And yet it's not a real Red Hot Chili Peppers staple.
A cow walked into the studio and wandered down Sunset Boulevard. Apparently it was lost.
Okay.
Chad began to ride the cow.
Okay.
And one thing led to another, and it ended up on the record.
Did he try other sounds? Did he just go, hey, I think this will sound good now? What was the...
The truth is...
I love it, but...
Yeah, this record is different because percussion is a heavier voice. A more dominant voice on this record, and you know, Flea went on tour with Atoms for Peace and met this guy Mauro, who's kind of a phenomenal percussionist. And Flea suggested to us very wisely, "Why don't we try recording with a percussionist live when we make our record? Maybe it'll change the way we play. Something cool will happen." And he was right. You know, something cool did happen, and our grooves now have a variety of really wicked percussion. So much so that we're bringing this guy on tour with us, and
that's all his stuff over there.
Wow,
I didn't recognize half of that.
How about
if you could only see that stuff, it is.
Josh is going to go give us an example.
Look at that, nice,
nice.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful sound. This might be an excellent time to hear that song that we've been talking about, "The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie." The new Chili Peppers album is out, available for you to buy, and you should. It's called "I'm With You." You guys want to hear that one live?
Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie, see? Yeah, wise guy.
junkety bump, the only one. She came back wearing a smile, looking like someone drove me that funny to unplug me. No one here is on trial. It's just a turn around and we go. Oh, well, and we go. Oh, 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 oh. Tick tock, I want to rock you like the 80s. Cock blocking isn't allowed. Tugboat, Sheila Hill's in the memorabilia. Who said three is a crowd?
Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin Bean Show. And we'll be right back.
Yes! Oh, my God! possibly the best rock show ever.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast
with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hey, it's the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How you guys doing? Having fun? Guys are nice enough to be here and performing live. We have more to come. Producer Alex, who looks fantastic today, by
the
way.
Good morning.
Is in the audience. You've got Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. We'd like to include a couple of questions from the audience this segment.
The number one fans, everybody here. I have your number one fan, Crystal. She has a question for you.
Okay.
Hi. I wanted to know, Anthony, some of your lyrics are so crazy and interesting. What do you go through when you're writing them?
Wow. Well, thank you, Crystal. I like crazy and interesting, confusing and blasphemous. Yeah, I don't know. It's always different. You know, sometimes before we even start writing, I have a little notebook and I just start collecting words and word combinations and ideas. And my favorite lyrics are ones that just sort of fly into my head while Josh and Flea and Chad are jamming. Like if they find some space with some noise and it makes me think very specifically of an idea, those are my favorite because those are freebies. And then other times you just go home and sit down at your desk and start writing until it feels right.
Thank you.
That's such a fascinating thing, and that's why you get asked so much what the songs mean and how you do it, because you guys have to start with nothing, and then you come out with art.
And that is magic. That really is magic to those of us who can't do it and are on the other side of the radio.
It's magic to us, too. And especially like when you all of a sudden you're holding a CD and it's this tangible thing. Like I said, it's like goes from this just a feeling to this tangible thing. But mostly, more than anything, you just have to do it. You know, it's like I think for anyone making any kind of art, writing lyrics or writing, you know, any kind of music or writing anything, you have to sit down and put pen to paper, put finger to bass, put whatever you put to whatever you put. And do it. And sometimes it's a mundane, arduous thing, and you just try and try, and you might squeak out a couple little things, but you have to do it all the time.
Are there times where it feels like a job and hard work to write a song?
Hard work, yes, but it's welcomed work. It's good work if you can get it. I mean, it's really, we've always had a pretty good work ethic, and back in the day, we used to have this thing where we would say it's time to put on our blue-collar shirts and punch the clock, but yeah, that's part of the magic also is like Flea said, just showing up, suiting up and showing up and being present.
Are there days that you walk away with your heads hung and just go, well, maybe tomorrow?
Of course. You know what I mean? Of course. Of course.
Plus there's those times when you'll have a day and you're like, you're trying really hard and you feel like you're just not getting there, you know, and it's like, oh man, like this, what's going on, you know, and the sky's falling. And then you go back a week later and listen to the tapes from that day and it's like, oh my God, that was great. You know, and you don't even realize it sometimes.
So. You just need a little space, a little distance from it. And
yeah.
And you can appreciate what happened.
Yep.
Yeah, all moods and emotions welcome. You know, it wouldn't be right if it was just smooth sailing all the time.
The album is out now. We're talking with the Chili Peppers about I'm With You. You guys have done some different promotional things for the launch, streaming it on iTunes last week, for instance. You've got the thing in theaters tonight. And I think tomorrow night, too, the Fathom Events thing, which is new for you. Tell me about that.
Well, you know what's amazing is that we're playing tonight in Germany. Have you ever read Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Not since I was a very little person.
Well, he can be in different places at the same time. It's phenomenal. He thinks himself into places.
So am I understanding that it's not live, the thing that's in theaters tonight?
It's live.
It is live.
Oh, it's live.
Yeah, it's going to be live. We're going to bring the live.
Now, is this something somebody came to you and pitched you and said, hey, here's how it works. Movie theaters all over the place show you guys doing a live concert. It's a way to do a concert for everybody in every city.
It was, in fact, a pitch from someone who we listened to, a wise and wonderful wizard.
That mustache on a big screen is going to be phenomenal.
That's a great mustache.
I mean, seriously.
This one or this one?
Both. They're both. The one on your T-shirt is awesome. The one on your face is, I can't take my eyes off of it.
You know, into everybody's life, a little mustache must fall.
I hope that ends up in a Chili Pepper song.
I never thought about it that way.
The guys are going to play again in a couple of minutes. Alex, how about one more question from the crowd right now?
I have Bob here from Agoura Hills.
I was just wondering, guys, while you guys are on the road, how long does it take before you start fighting with each other?
Usually starts in the airport before we ever leave L.A. Josh will come in with a sandwich and shove it in my face and say, I told you not to wear that outfit today.
Always force feeding people.
He's the instigator?
No, but on the phone the day before we leave.
You do have to spend a lot of time together, and your tours tend to be a year or two. That's a lot of traveling and
a lot of decisions that have to be made.
You know, being in a band is anyone who's had a successful or unsuccessful long-term relationship with the opposite sex, or if you were gay, the same sex, knows what it is to be in a relationship, and being in a creative process with someone when you're making yourself vulnerable and putting your ideas out there, and not always agreeing. You know, it's a challenge, but one that we welcome and that we're grateful for.
This time around,
like, just like talking about it being work, that's part of the work, you know. And one of the great things for us, having been together as long as we have, is seeing that when things are difficult, we've seen them be difficult before, and we know that you get through it. You know,
you'll get to the other side
and when the process itself and everything about it is really all about love, love always wins.
This time around, you're going to the UK, Costa Rica, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and that's all next month, by the way. Picture that passport situation, that travel schedule. Now that you have young ones at home, are you changing the route a little bit or spending less time away from home before you come back for a little while, arranging the tour differently?
It is different. We put them to work.
Good.
The little ones.
Roadies?
No, it's kind of cool that three of us all have children in and around the same age. So when they all come together, they have a little posse, a little built-in posse. And we tried it. We took them to Japan and Hong Kong.
Wow.
And it was mostly successful.
Occasional meltdown. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
They need to start their own band, Mini RHCP. Would that be so cool?
My son already thinks that it's just a given that he's going to join our band in the near future.
But he wants to change the name, though, doesn't he?
No, he has a band called The Lemons.
The Lemons.
Okay. But he also just says to me point blank, no, I'm joining your band.
You think he's replacing you or do you think with you?
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, I have my sonny has started a band called Marigold Phantom Menace.
I like it.
Yeah. And my older daughter has a band called Grand Rapids. They're really good.
Which is awesome. Very good, by the way. Check out some Grand Rapids. I was really impressed.
It's great, right?
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. Speaking of bands that play live, how about another Red Hot Chili Peppers song for you here today? What do you guys think?
Let's take a walk now. so polite indeed. Well, I got everything I need, and just make my day. Little baby and it's very sweet. A holy roller coaster, but I'm on my feet. Take me to the river, let me on your show. Well, I've been coming back, baby, I've been coming back before. Drinking things on the deep that they found. A little da-da-da-da-da-da, come, don't go. Well, I cannot forget, but I'm not a devil. Flipper black and I'm a better, but I won't regret it never. Where I go, I just don't know. Like, gotta take it.
Chili Peppers, and we will be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's get ready for breakfast!
The Kevin and Bean Show. Have your breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
All right, we are back. It's our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We've got some more people in the audience that are going to ask some questions of the guys.
I have Daniel here representing the Valley, North Hills.
Hi there, guys. I work for a senior community. We would love for you guys to play at our community for the seniors. But my question is, have you guys ever considered making a band... making your band based on a movie, and who would you cast?
You mean making a movie based
Correct.
On the band?
Correct. Daniel's really
nervous.
I don't understand the question.
We got the question.
Okay.
We have to reinterpret it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Easy to start with Chad. Think Will Ferrell. Oh, yeah. Will Ferrell would play him.
Good.
In a heartbeat.
Josh, how about you? Brad Pitt?
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson?
Yeah, Chad. Yeah, it's Josh.
Chad. Flea, you're the you've got quite the movie background. Have you ever given this any thought?
Yeah, I've given it a lot of thought. After careful meditative contemplation, I would like to be played by Dakota Fanning.
Oh my God!
What?
Oh Jesus!
I can't believe you said that.
You were thinking that joke.
I was sitting here waiting for my turn to say Dakota Fanning, and you said
Took
Dakota
his
Fanning.
Guy.
That is, she can play both of us.
She's that talented.
She is that good.
She is that good.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are the odds?
You guys should be in a band together.
That's just weird.
We're linked.
Speaking of Josh, you grew up in the Valley, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
This might be an outstanding opportunity in the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers to meet Josh, a face that a lot of them haven't seen before or have seen on the side of the stage instead of on the front of the stage. Tell us a little bit about you and your musical background and where you came from and how you got to this point.
I came from, I was born in Santa Monica, but I grew up in Northridge in the Valley. And,
okay. One person, good.
I grew up listening to you guys on the radio. And yeah.
Thank you for that. How early did you start playing guitar?
I was 15. I was kind of late. I played drums first.
Okay.
I didn't really have anything.
And was it a hobby for you, or was it something you thought, hey, like these guys did so young, hey, this is our life, we've got to do this for a living, this is what we got to be, we got to make it music?
I never sort of thought of it as a living, you know. I still don't think of it as something I do for a work, you know. So I just like playing, and I do it as much as I can. And that's
right.
All.
And was it a surprise to you to end up being the guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, or did it happen so organically that it just made sense?
It happened organically, but it was a surprise to be asked. I wasn't, you know, I hadn't spoken to them in a little while. Their band had taken a break, and I wasn't sure if anybody was how interested they were in carrying on after John left the band. So yeah, I was surprised to hear that they were interested in carrying on and that they wanted to do it with me.
Were there any surprises about making an album in the band? Like, was it the way you expected it would be to record a record together?
Yeah, it was exactly as I thought it would be, just based on my knowledge of how they work and how open they are, and you know, everyone being an equal
welcome
part of it.
All right, let's do another question. It's the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alex, who's up next?
I have our buddy Chris right here.
Who are some of the new up-and-coming bands that you feel have longevity in their mainstream careers, and why?
Up and coming
bands that are not only good, but bands that are going to make it and stick around is what you're asking.
Yeah, that are going to last.
Oh, you mean like young groups who we feel have the
new
the
bands
power?
Over the past, you know, 5 years or so. Yeah.
The first name that jumps to my mind is Zach Irons. I feel like Zach Irons is here to stay. He's not yet popular, but he is yet talented and hardworking and soulful, and clearly he's not going anywhere.
Is he any relation to Jack?
He's Jack, the son of Jack.
Son of Jack, okay. Yeah. Wow.
Who is just a pedigree. Bad, can you say ass?
Sure, sure.
He is just a badass guitar player who's dedicated to the musical arts and has a furious energy about him that I think he's going to...
Anthony, you've done more publicity for Off in recent appearances and videos. That's another band that I assume you're into.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is this a mystery?
No. Keith Moore. It's hard not to root for that guy. He's a pure rock man.
How about you, Flea? I know that you appreciate so many different kinds of music. I follow you on Twitter, and I see the awe you have for, like, Bobby Womack shows up at your concert, and that blows your mind. But I bet there are young players that you come across that are inspiring in a different way.
Yeah, all the time. It's weird. I'm kind of drawing a blank right now about who to say. But I'm, you know, like all of us, always listening to everything that I can. I mean, I just listen to music from as soon as I get up in the morning until I fall asleep every day. But nothing is popping into my head that I need to say right now. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of a dumb, slow-witted man.
I can think of another one.
Who?
Tanarawen. I feel like Tanarawen are going to be around as long as the gentleman who asked the
question. I hope you're taking notes out there.
Tanarawen's a great band from Mali. They're Touareg guys, and... if you get a chance, get their records or listen to them. They're really amazing.
Do they throat sing or anything crazy?
No, regular singing. Okay. Just really great songs in a unique groove that is just this bottomless pit of depth. Yeah.
Flea, speaking of the love of music, the lifelong love of music, this would be a great time to promote and have you talk about what's going on with the Silver Lake Conservancy. I know you did that show last week to raise a bunch of money for him, and we've had you on the Kevin Bean Show several times with fundraisers over the years and stuff. That's something that's really... like deep into your heart, something you've really kind of made a lifelong commitment to. Tell folks about it who maybe haven't heard about it.
Well, the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music is a nonprofit music school that we started about 10 years ago. We teach about 700 students a week, about 300 of whom go for free. It's not about being famous or being a celebrity. It's academic music education and technique on an instrument and playing in an ensemble and studying music. And I started it with a couple of friends because of the public school system just doesn't have the funding to have the arts anymore. And just wanted to try to fill that void. And it's been so great to be a part of it. And Anthony's on the board of directors. And everyone in the band has really helped doing benefits. We've done a number of benefits for the school. And it's, I'm really close to it. And it's just been a great thing for the community. And it continues to flourish and do really well. And
do you teach anything there?
I have. Whenever I've had enough time off, I teach there. But kids need consistency, and they need teachers to be there the same every day. And my professional life gets so busy that I just don't have time.
Some of the downtime before this record, though, you went back to school and studied even further into music, right?
I did, yeah. I was lucky enough that they let me into the Thornton School of Music at USC, and I studied, and that was a blast. And I love education, and for me, really, like, the most important thing is education. And I know, granted, there are all different types of intelligences, and a lot of the best ones don't come from, institutions. But all the magical things that are there in literature and science and arts and all the great things are every kid deserves a chance to be taught, to the best of their abilities and to use their minds.
But it's funny because if I'm at USC when you walk in, I go, is this a joke? This is Flea.
He doesn't need this, right?
He knows everything about music.
Yeah, well, I don't. I know very little. So I was really excited to get to learn.
Well, let's give you a chance to pick up the bass and show us what you learned in that summer school class and play another song. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are here. It's Breakfast with the Band. New album out today called I'm With You. Who wants to hear another song from it right now? right time. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are here. It's Breakfast with RHCP. And we'll be right back
on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is a big one. The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's beginning to look a lot like breakfast.
It's Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We're back with more of the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Having a tremendous amount of fun with these guys. The album is finally out and available. It is called I'm With You. By the way, when we talked about the movie theater thing, I forgot to mention it's fathomevents.com for people who want to buy tickets and want to find the theater near them to go see it tonight or tomorrow night. And the show that you did at the Roxy recently is airing on Fuse tomorrow night, so people can see that club show that you did. Yeah. So a lot of Chili Peppers this week available for people.
We're wildly excited about this movie theater thing.
That sounds cool.
We are putting all of our energy and love into this show, so I hope you check it out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about this thing we're doing tonight, playing in movie theaters, is we're playing songs that we've never played live before. And when you do that, there's a certain type of energy that comes with it.
Is it scare?
It's
scared?
That it's well, it's
I'm scared.
Scary.
Hello? I'm scared.
It's scary because anything can happen, yeah. You know. And when you're taking a risk and there's room for drastic error, it gives it an edge and a tension that you really just can't fake, you know. So I'm really excited to do it tonight. And just to be the concept of us playing it, broadcasting live in movie theaters all around the world.
I love that too. Second to seeing you guys live. It's an amazing idea to see on the big screen. The
and
sound.
It sounds good in
sounds
movie theaters.
Good, yeah.
Right. In the interviews leading up to the release of I'm With You, you guys have – it's come up a couple of times where you've talked about the concerts that you've sneaked into over the years. I saw your MTV interview at the Forum where you talked about sneaking in to go see The Who, and I saw your interview from the Roxy where you talked about sneaking in the window in the back to go see shows and stuff. So you would encourage your fans to sneak into your shows if at all possible, I hope.
I wouldn't discourage it.
Okay, good. Was it harder? It was a way easier back then to sneak into stuff? Because I was amazed at how many shows you guys saw for free.
You just have to use your imagination. You know, we were on tour, whatever it was, 5 years ago, and we were in Vancouver, Canada. And the most beautiful woman walked in the back door wearing a construction helmet. And I was like, do you work here? And she's like, no, I just put this on and walked in and no one stopped me. I was like, genius.
It's a lot easier for beautiful women.
Yes.
You put that same hat on. I'm not sure it works.
Get yourself
not with this shirt on anyways.
maybe the mustache.
You know, another thing we used to do was to go into movies or any places, you just walk in backwards. It's like a psychological trip on the people guarding the door. They don't stop you.
So they
kind of assume you're already in. You're going in backwards. It looks like...
That may be the most useful thing you've heard
today. I'm going to try that.
But that said, you know, we were little scallywags and thieves. And whenever you actually steal anything, it doesn't really work out good for you in the end. So
no, we paid the price.
Yeah. You pay the price. You always end up paying.
Hey, you've given back in
the
lots of
the price of having
ways.
Fun.
Yeah. Got a great time. Got it for free. Whoop, whoop.
Before we go back out to Alex for our final questions here from the crowd, Chad, what's up with you, man? You in a good place and psyched about the album being out today and looking forward to what's happening?
I'm really in a great place. I'm very, very happy to be here tonight.
We didn't get to hear
you,
from
you, with my friends,
yeah,
these beautiful people.
How was making this album for you? Was it different from some of the others? And it had been a number of years. What was it like to kind of get back in the saddle?
It was different. There was a different gentleman playing the guitar. So that had a lot to do with it. But we went about it the same way. You know, we just got a room and came up with some songs, and then we all played together live, which when we record, which is a kind of a lost art.
I was going to ask you about that. Everybody, so many people are doing it by mail now, it seems like.
They got their files, and we actually look at each other and get in a room and play, and that's the way that we record. And I think it's really important to capture the essence of a good performance live.
So. I saw an interview with Anthony where you said you made it kind of a promise to yourselves you're going to write for a year. Is that true?
Yeah, well...
Just for a full year.
We wanted to write, and we also just wanted to be a band. You know, we wanted to get our thing together with Josh and feel like a real band before we stepped into the recording studio. So we didn't want to feel the burden of obligation. We wanted to just feel the burden of love. And
so at the beginning, maybe you just started jamming or playing or whatever. You weren't.
We did. I mean, we blessed pray every day we record, and we amassed a way fruitful bounty of songs long before we expected to. But we didn't sell ourselves short. We stayed to the year.
Is it true that you wanted 12 but ended up with 14 songs because you couldn't agree?
That's close to true.
Close to true.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how it went down, but it's always hard to narrow down the songs.
I imagine.
And yeah. We never agree, ever.
But the weird thing is we did agree. We agreed. We looked at the 12, and Flea was petitioning for a song called Dance, 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 and we all looked at each other and went, yes, we love that song. It must end the record. And
okay.
So in the end, it really was unusually about agreement. Usually we disagree more about songs.
Well, I did petition for Magpies, too. It didn't turn out so good for me.
Well, you don't get everything you want.
Yeah, no, but again, it was we all loved Magpies and wished that we could have snuck it in there.
Now, Josh, you came up with the album title. Is that true?
I wrote it down and slipped it on the table. I saw it written.
You don't
want
to be too bold. You just kind of,
yeah.
How about this?
Hey, who left that piece of paper there with the great album title?
It was
the day
before it was due or something, and
you
guys
could coughing and pointing.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Shane.
All right, we have time for, I think, our final two questions here on The Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Alex is in the crowd with...
I have the beautiful Cynthia, who, by the way, said she's so nervous she's going to throw up. So I'm just going to hug her and tell her...
Well, you're in the right spot
for it. No vomiting.
First of all, Anthony, I love your stash. I want to lick it. That's how much I like it.
Wow. Lick your stash.
Did she say what I think she said?
Yes.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. You made my day.
Okay. You have the option of any musician, living or dead, to rock the sock. Who would it be and why?
Who would I want to rock the sock? Yeah. Living or dead? Living I'm going to go ahead and bring Hillel back from the other side and ask Hillel Slovak to rock the sock.
Yeah. What a
one
beautiful
more
answer.
Time.
That's very, very nice.
He killed the sock, this kid.
Thank you very much. Are any of those socks saved for posterity, like in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or anything like that?
I hope not. You're probably going to have to direct that to Cynthia.
Yes.
That question.
Yes.
The Smithsonian has got a little vial of scrotum lint.
Okay. They've been collecting it through the years.
Yeah, I think yours and Thomas Jefferson's in a little booth.
You should have called the album that, by the way.
The Bush family maybe collect some of our earlier.
Hey.
Yes, Alex.
What?
Yes.
Karina. All right. First off, just thank you for your music, guys. I think I speak for all of us. And second, I don't want to put you on the spot if there's any legalities, but why haven't you claimed your Hollywood Walk of Fame star yet? We're all waiting for it.
I would love to be on the Hollywood Boulevard Walk of Fame star. I don't know why, because I would just, we grew up walking the streets of Hollywood Boulevard. And,
I'm pretty sure I took a nap on Danny Thomas once.
Yeah, I've, peed on him. I that would be the greatest, funnest thing to do. Because if anything, I'm not a real patriotic person. You know, I mean, I love the United States, don't get me wrong, but just no more than I love Zimbabwe or, New Zealand. But I really feel a romantic attachment to Hollywood and would love
peace
for that to happen.
Peace has come to Zimbabwe.
Yeah, so.
Join us, children of Jah.
That needs to happen, by the way. You guys could get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but of course you can't suggest it. Your people need to. The record company or somebody needs to put up the dough and make it happen.
Maybe you can help champion it for us.
Yeah, there you go.
You already champion. Do. You've already been nominated. You just guys haven't claimed it.
Who do we need to talk to?
I don't know. Walk of Fame star person.
Okay, we'll talk
to you. All right, thanks for that info.
Somebody get Jodie Foster on the line.
This has been fantastic, you guys. Thank you so much for the time. We know how busy you are with everything going on with the release of I'm With You out today, but so much fun to sit down with some of you. It's been a while since we've seen, and it's congratulations on the new record. We're so psyched. Thanks to you guys for coming out for Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think we got time for maybe one more song to say goodbye to. What do you guys think? Let's do it.
see the show tonight. And there's the light on, heavy glow. By the way, I tried to say I'd be there waiting. Oh. Lots of love. Thank you very much. Y'all were rocking and fun to be with. God bless.
Red Hot Chili Peppers were awesome, by the way. The new record is great, and you ought to pick it up, called I'm With You. So thanks a lot for those guys for being on the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of programs still ahead. LaQuisha reviews last night's very special Sunday episode of The Jersey Shore, and we'll tell you about how you can join us this Friday for a Labor Day weekend kickoff party with the band Bush in minutes. First, though, Monday means TMZ.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Dax Holt from the TMZ Newsroom on the phone with us right now. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
Good. Good morning. Let me just, I got to tell you guys, I had my 10-year reunion this weekend.
Wow.
And
yeah.
The number one thing people said was not, oh, I enjoy watching you on TMZ. It was, it's fun to hear you on Kevin and Bean.
Did that make you angry?
I was like, really? That's what you love? Only Kevin and Bean, nothing else that I do?
By the way, Dax, we have so much ground to cover with you, and I'll do this as quickly as possible, but I tune into the TV show from time to time. I'm not embarrassed to admit it, although I should be some days. But you have a lot of hotties in the news. Room. Do they get a lot of fan mail from viewers around the world?
We get a lot of fan mail from jail.
All right.
From jail.
Jail mail. We are very popular behind bars.
That's great. That's what you want.
What is, before we move on to two amazing stories at the top of TMZ.com right now, I just have to ask, because I know you've had your meeting already today, what was the consensus from the group on last night's MTV VMAs? What did people think of the show?
You know, I think most, the discussion we got started on was the whole Chris Brown, his really good performance, but the fact that people still hate him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got half the room that's standing up, and then you got Jay-Z, who they panned over to right after Chris finished, and everyone's standing up applauding, and Jay-Z's sitting there staring at the stage, because obviously Rihanna's his girl, you know,
right.
He brought her into this music world, and I think he has definitely not forgiven Chris Brown with most people.
That was a great photo of just him sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there, yeah. Being like, no. Sorry, buddy, I'm not getting up for you.
Yeah, there are. It is hard to move past when a man does something like that to a woman. Plus, then you come on my TV and lip sync, Chris Brown. Either dance or sing. Don't dance and lip sync.
Come
right?
on. I'm sorry, but Pink flew around in the air and she sang the whole time. Like, at least sing.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the big news. The Charlie Sheen roast is coming up on Comedy Central. A lot of people are burned out on it. They don't ever want to hear another Charlie Sheen joke again. And other people say, hey, it's been a while now. It's going to be fun to kind of see what happens. It actually is going to be taping on the 10th and then airing, what, on the 19th or something?
Yes, exactly. And we were kind of finding out who's going to be there roasting. Mike Tyson, for one, which, okay, that could be interesting. Steve-O. You know, Jeff Ross, obviously.
Sure.
And Harvey. My boss
Harvey.
Will be there.
What? He's going to be roasting?
Well, think how much money Harvey's made over just Charlie Sheen's story.
That's true.
Is he going to get together with Jimmy Kimmel or somebody, some sort of comedy professional that's going to help him with some material?
Yes, for sure. I know they all sit down with writers. I know that for a fact.
Right.
Everyone who goes in there will sit down with writers, figure out jokes, and so he'll be doing that. I'm kind of excited to see how he does, though, because, you know, he's Harvey.
That's too bad. It's like, that's too bad, because I was perfectly content to not watch it.
And now you're going to have to.
Well,
right?
Now that Harvey's on, I may have to fast forward to him. Yeah.
Exactly. What do you think the level of interest is in people tuning in to see Charlie Sheen got roasted? I mean, haven't all the jokes been made already?
You would think, but at the same time, I think there's still the curiosity of just watching him get ripped apart to his face. It's one thing when people say jokes, you know, on a daily basis, but it's another thing when they're saying it directly to him and you see his reactions. And I think
that's
the number one reason people tune into these roasts.
And sometimes it can be really uncomfortable if the person was not expecting the jokes to cut quite that deep, and then it gets awkward, which is fun. All right, we're on with Dax from TMZ.com and, of course, the TMZ television show. Check your local listings. Another story breaking on the site today involves Matthew Fox. Dr. Jack, what's he got going on?
This is a crazy story. So apparently he was detained by cops in Cleveland on Saturday night. Allegedly, he jumped onto a party bus but was not a guest on it. And the driver said, sorry, you can't come on. And she claims that he was so drunk and belligerent that he wasn't listening and staring at her.
What?
And that he punched her in the breast and the vag. And
my God.
Fight back, and she punched him in the face, and he started bleeding and fell off the bus. And so now it's pretty much a he said, she said thing, and he could be getting charged with this.
That does not sound like him.
all.
Who doesn't let Matthew Fox onto a party bus, by the way? I mean, honestly, imagine, I don't care whether you know him or not. If he shows up and wants to get on your party bus, don't you just go just for the story?
Right, you just let him on.
Yeah.
But she wasn't having it, and she said no and then got allegedly punched and then punched him back.
I got to tell you, I don't know. You know, it's obviously impossible to tell what actually happened. You have to figure out kind of who you believe. It seems odd that he would punch her in the boob and
That's
in the vagina. Like, those kind of details. Like, if he's that drunk, he's
just... Who does that anyway?
He's just swinging. I've never heard of that. Right.
It's very strange. So I'm very curious to hear what he's going to say about the whole situation and what his side of the story is, because maybe his is completely different. And. Yeah. He was using self-defense. I have no idea.
Were there people on the bus?
Yeah,
it was
like
a party bus.
Well, then there are lots of witnesses.
Yeah, you think.
Exactly.
All right, last story. We have less than a minute left. I have to ask about Krayshawn, who should have had the biggest night of her life. She's the rapper slash, I don't know, what even call performance artist, I guess, who had a big night last night at the MTV Video Music Awards, kind of a coming out party for the popular mainstream press last night. Then she gets home, and what does she find on her computer, Dax?
Well, there was nude photos that were released on her Twitter page. She's claiming that they were underage photos. There was a whole rant, basically anti-Semitic rant that it looked like she had posted, and she's like, no, it got hacked by some anti-Hollywood extremists. I didn't write anything, and then they killed my Twitter page, and so she was pretty much freaking out when she got home because it just ripped apart people and posted photos, and so she's like, look, they're underage. Don't post them. Get rid of them.
That's the smartest thing, and that's the hot new trend in Hollywood. If you're a young woman, claim the photos are underage, and that way websites get nervous because they know they're liable for, you know, kiddie porn if they post them, right?
Honestly, smartest defense. Sorry,
smartest defense. And you can't tell from looking at them. You can't tell whether those pictures were taken 2 weeks ago or 5 years ago, right?
I think the dumbest defense is saying that they're not you taking photos of yourself, kind of like Blake Lively.
Yeah.
That it's like, then you can't claim for people to take them down. Nothing.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Great stuff. As always, TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. And, of course, TMZ Television. When in Los Angeles, you must take the TMZ bus tour, the Hollywood tour. You can buy tickets right there on the front page of the site as well. Dax Holt, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Dax's class. LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Then we got some highlights of the actual VMAs for you next half hour. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, are we going to talk about the thing here, Kevin, or are we saving that?
Oh, we should talk about the thing.
You better talk about the thing.
Here's what's going on. This coming Friday is the kickoff for the Labor Day weekend. It's the kind of unofficial end of summer. And we are doing a super secret Friday afternoon thing at an undisclosed location that is some distance from where you may be listening right now.
Wow.
I'm trying not to give too much away.
You mean there may be some distance between the listeners and where this thing's going to happen?
Correct.
It's not going to be happening in their home.
In their vaginas?
Think about the places where you have normally come in years past to see Kevin and Bean live events. This one is further away than that, but they are trying to make it as mysterious as possible
unless
so we can
you're
say
near
no more.
There, then it's not
unless
further
you're near
away
there.
For you.
There are people listening. Here's another hint. There are people listening who it is incredibly convenient for. So close to where they are. So maybe you want to call. But you can join us if you want to. They've tied our hands with what we're allowed to say. But it does involve...
tied your tongues, apparently.
It involves Kevin and Bean and the band Bush performing live for you on Friday afternoon. That's the important information here, okay?
Is it in Texas? Bush loves Texas.
It might be. Who knows? I can say no more. So you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give away tickets while we've got them for this segment right now. But we're just warning you, you may have to drive. But good luck.
How do you follow that up?
He just can't accept the fact that he can't tell people where it is.
Oh, it's making him nuts. For him to have facts that he can't tell everyone he knows is like his living hell.
But isn't it fair to share that with the audience before they call? That's all I'm trying
to say.
All
I have to say is it might be a bit of a drive. You might need to take about a half a day. And that's it. Done. Move on.
But anything we do anywhere in Southern California could be a bit of a drive for anyone we give anything to.
That's true.
Okay.
Whether it's in Orange County or up in the mountains or the beach.
I want to give people a heads up. That's all.
It's always a drive for somebody.
Kick off the weekend with us and with
it's
Bush.
Near Vermont. That's all I can say. I can't say anything else, but it's close to Vermont.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Can I kick off the weekend by planting my foot squarely between Bean's legs?
I would like that. That would make me happy. Yeah.
I missed you too, buddy.
I was in Texas, speaking of Texas, over the weekend.
Yeah.
I was in San Antone.
as they say in Texas.
Sure.
Right.
And Houston over the weekend. Friday and Saturday nights, we did two sold-out shows for that Hollywood Babylon thing they do with Kevin Smith. And here's the thing about Texas. Don't go there in August.
No.
Ever. Not
ever.
At all.
Ever. Ever.
No.
Right?
Ever.
110 and 100% humidity,
right?
112, whatever you got, whatever they're serving that day.
However much.
And you walk outside and your holes start to bleed. Your body starts to boil from the inside out, and you die.
Ralph,
yeah,
I died several times.
Ralph is not a fan of heat.
I have
But this is not just heat.
This is not heat.
This isn't even like Vegas heat. This is like take a nap inside a pottery kiln in the heat. This is drink a lot of kerosene and lighter fluid and swallow a match heat.
I've been there that time of year before, and it is like being on an uninhabitable planet.
You do feel like you are some futuristic NASA trip where you ended up on Mercury. Yeah, it's evil, but
so good times. Check.
But look, hellish weather all over these United States this weekend.
Yeah,
on the East Coast you had Hurricane Irene, on the West you had heat. So
heat, yeah.
A lot going on. Hurricane Irene being blamed for the 25% drop in revenue this weekend for the box office. At the movie theaters, The Help continued to be number one, though, with $14.3 million. Colombiana, in its debut, was number two with $10.3 million. That looked good. I get a chance to see any movies.
I can't wait. I didn't get me either, but I'm dying to see
she's, that. She's a good action star that Zoe Saldana. She makes it believable. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, a story of Katie Holmes being chased around by weird little creatures. It's just like her marriage. $8.7 million, made it number three. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was fourth. Our Idiot Brother was fifth in its debut with $6.6 million. Then Spy Kids 4, The Smurfs, Conan the Barbarian, Fright Night, and Crazy Stupid Love. Beyonce announced last night that she was pregnant on the black carpet of the Sunday MTV Video Music Awards. I thought it was interesting. This comes just months after she told Piers Morgan on his show on CNN that she wanted to wait until she was 40 to have a baby. So that means Beyonce's been lying about her age all these years.
Wow.
She's actually 40.
She's looking good for 40.
I'm starting that rumor. You know, everybody was making those videos on YouTube saying, would you go to the Marine Corps ball with me, please?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, that's only to get the A-listers. To get, like, the D-listers, you can just tweet.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Someone tweeted Kristen Cavallari from The Hills, would you like to go to the Marine Corps ball with me? And she's like, yeah, okay, I'll go. Man, that's not much effort really at all, is it?
Not much, no. Yeah, you used to have to make a video with your platoon where you're like singing a song and there's choreography and a jet flies over and everything else to get attention.
Now she's like, hey, you want to go?
Yes, yes, please. Will it get me attention? I'll be there.
Kristen responded.
Men in uniform. She's not going to stick with her dude long.
Jonathan Burkett was the name of the Marine who tweeted her, and he said, want to know if you want to go to the Marine Corps ball with me in San Diego. Wouldn't make a video, but still deployed. Well, he's got better things to do than make a video, apparently. He's out there fighting for our freedom. So
she's fighting the Nazis, right?
Yes, the Nazis.
We're still
taking on the Nazis.
I don't believe that's still a problem.
It's a long war, that World War II. Martin Scorsese, he's working with Leonardo DiCaprio again. These guys... what a pair. They've collaborated on Gangs of New York already, The Aviator, The Departed, Shutter Island. Now they're getting together to do a remake of a 1974 film called The Gambler, which I loved, with James Caan, about a professional gambler. And looks like it's going to be pretty good. So that's something to be excited about.
Those two do
pretty
good
work. No one to hold him and no one to fold him? Is that part of the story? Or?
Put
it in the file.
And I know Kevin hates it when movie stars save lives. But Brad Pitt scored points over the weekend when he saved the life of a woman on the set of his upcoming movie, World War Z. This is the zombie movie, based on the Max Brooks book.
Can't wait.
There you are, shooting it in Glasgow, Scotland, and there was a scene where 700 people dressed as zombies crammed into this square in Glasgow, and they were supposed to start like a stampede. And a woman fell down in the middle of the scene, in the middle of the crowd, and this crowd was coming. She was about to be trampled to death, basically, when Brad Pitt ran in, scooped her up, and got her to safety.
Wow.
She escaped with no more than a skinned knee. Brad saved her life.
Wow.
Then he found out they weren't rolling the cameras. He was so pissed off.
What? She's an extra. I wouldn't really risk myself for an extra.
He's so upset. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rebecca De Mornay is 52 years old today. She's a good looking 52, but too.
Yeah.
Carla Gugino is 40 years old today. John Hensley of Nip Tuck fame is 34. And actress Lea Michele from Glee celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last night on MTV, they got a lot of my business because they had the MTV Video Music Awards. They also had the pre-show. And before that, they had Jersey Shore, part two of the episode that we talked about last week, where Situation ends up in the hospital because he had a fight with Ronnie. Now, LaQuisha, you weren't with us last week, but welcome back. You watched last night's show, I understand.
Yeah, I watched it.
Uh-oh. Not happy about it?
FMTV. F them.
Oh.
I demand that no one watch nothing on MTV ever again, ever.
Why?
But
why?
You
love stupid white people.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Did you watch the MTV Video Music Awards?
I did watch that.
Well, that should be reason enough.
It was pretty bad.
But if that's not enough reason, how about the 6 months of hype and leaked stories and inside information about how Ronnie gonna deck the Situation and send him to the hospital and last week's episode and the build-up and the hype?
Yep.
How about that?
Yep, there's a lot of that.
Because last night on the Jersey Shore, we saw this fight between Situation and Ronnie.
You wanna do it? You wanna do it? Yeah, you wanna do it?
Now that sound, which sounds like a fight.
Right.
If you had been watching, you would have seen the Situation run up to a cement wall and bang his own head into it.
On purpose. What?
Showing that he's so crazy and so out of control, he runs up to a wall and smacks his forehead into the wall.
Wait.
Now.
Why?
Because he is an asshole.
Did he just not want to fight Ronnie?
No, he thought he'd be all crazy. Look at me. I'm dangerous. I'm going to put my head through some drywall. Like in America, when they make a wall, they use drywall board.
Yeah, sure.
And you put your head in there, you make a nice dent, and you show everybody how crazy you are and
right.
how dangerous person you are to mess with.
Right.
In Italy, they make their walls of concrete.
He did not know that.
They make them from cement. And he tried to put his head through a cement wall.
Now, the story that we have heard for 6 months is that Ronnie knocked him out.
No.
Hit him in the face.
He knocked his own ass out by hitting his head into a wall on purpose. Knocked, falls down, looking up at the sky like, what the hell did I just do? Jay Wow goes to his aid.
Mike bashed his head into the wall. And I could tell Mike is completely disoriented. He's opening his eyes to me, but he's giving me a blank look.
How is that any different than any other time situations looking at somebody?
That same blank look?
So he gets up after just knocking him ass out from hitting that wall. He gets up, and then they try to have some kind of fight. Ronnie and him ends up more hugging than anything else, hugging and grunting and sweating.
Yeah.
It looked like a bathhouse more than a fight, really. And everybody thought it was just pathetic, even Paulie.
I don't think either of them can fight. I mean, I know Mike used to take karate, and Ronnie's got big muscles or whatever, but big muscles doesn't mean you can fight. You need to know how to punch. Neither of them know how to punch. Like, Ronnie punched Mike, it didn't do anything. Mike knocked himself out. I think Mike tried to commit suicide by hitting his head against the wall because he was sick of dealing with the Ron and Sam bull.
I know I wanted to, watching this damn-ass show after all the stuff they said it was going to be.
Did you seriously consider running into a wall?
Yes, I did. If it means I don't got to watch any more of this goddamn show.
You love it.
Well, they send him to the hospital because MTV needs more footage.
Sure.
Because nothing happened on this goddamn show this season that we ain't already seen.
Hey, they made pizza.
So they send him to the hospital. And turns out he has a mild concussion and a bit of a strained neck. So no one cares. Even his housemates don't care because nothing seriously wrong with him and he's a dumbass.
Yeah, people get concussions a lot. It's not like...
Yeah. You know. I used to get them all the time from cheerleading.
just smack myself right on the ground and be like,
you sure you didn't get that when you blacked out drunk and fell?
Oh, that happens too.
At least we have an explanation for Snooki. She gets she's got a ton of concussions in her past, which makes me understand now why she a dumbass.
Wait, Snooki was a cheerleader?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
I bet she was on the bottom of the pyramid.
facing away from the crowd. And I'll tell you something else, LaQuisha. It was shocking for whatever reason. I know we've seen her waking up in the morning on a lot of episodes, but this weekend, to see her without makeup on that episode was one of the most frightening things I've ever seen.
I wish she had put her face into a wall. That would have been helpful. She would look better after that than she did when she just wake up. Well, in this episode of Jersey Shore, Sammy and Ronnie split up because of their relationship.
Are you kidding me?
Getting along, even though they are very much in love with it. God damn it, MTV, really?
Yeah.
When you out. You out of stories with these people. Time to kill them. Time to kill them off and bring in some New Jersey Shore people. Here's them breaking up.
Goodbye.
Can you just sit?
Can you just monkey me? I'm going to kill you one
day. I'm being honest. Like, I'm trying
to... It's okay. Be honest all you want.
Oh, my God.
But I just don't want anything to do with you ever again in my entire life.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, Sammy. Every goddamn season you say, I don't want nothing, never look at you, never talk to you. Shut up, Sammy. Then Ronnie, he decides he's going to leave Italy. He's going to leave the house because last season, Sammy left the house when they broke up. So now it's his turn to leave the house.
Sure.
But Vinny talks him into staying because he makes him realize he might have a bigger purpose.
Vinny's like the Dr. Phil in the house. He's young, but he definitely gives good advice. And I think that he's right. Why would I give up so much? You know what I mean? There's a reason why I'm here.
Yes, there is a reason you're there, because you're a dumbass from New Jersey that don't mind cameras up your ass 24 hours a day, and you're on television to be a clown for our amusement, and we laugh at you like a monkey throwing poo in a zoo. That's your reason. That's the reason you're there, you white trash piece of garbage. Go kill yourself. I hate you. That's why you're there.
It sounds like Jersey Shore is on LaQuisha's last nerve. We may be losing her.
This goddamn show, this the FM TV. Adam Levine is right.
How many more episodes are there this season, LaQuisha?
Too goddamn many. That's how many
left. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Looking forward to it.
Get the hell you will.
Okay. It filters through. 106.7 K-Rock. Is K-R-O-Q? Don't think so. No.
Not so much.
It's 9:43.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We're not done yet. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for one last look at the showbiz beat.
I know. I missed a couple days last week.
We handled it poorly.
Bean's now accosting the intern candidates. Is that what I understand?
Yeah. Well,
not at all.
Some accosting going on?
I didn't do any kind of accosting. I said hello on my way out of the building.
Some creeping and tainting.
He was yelling at me for not hiring the hottest contestant. Or, I guess they're not contestants, but
candidates.
Candidates. Yeah.
I don't think it's a game show, Kevin. I think they're just applying for internships.
Seems like a game show to me.
Yeah.
Ralph, you would have been equally stunned and confused by their decision to not hire her. She would have been the hottest Kevin and Bean intern ever.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm Bean.
It wasn't like that.
Hey, you should have hired
her. Hey, I'm Bean. You're hot. You want to be an intern?
It wasn't anything like that at all. It was just, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. When you go back there, be sure to tell Kevin you heard he was a dick. That was my only contribution to the conversation.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Which she did.
Yeah, I'm Bean.
You should have hired her.
Want to be an intern in my pants?
Did you at least see if she wanted to do traffic on our show or something?
Want to be on the island?
You know what? Listen. You live in a bubble. You don't have to be here. You wouldn't even run into her. What difference would it have made?
Correct.
The point is, it would make everyone so happy to come to work every day.
Everyone's perfectly happy. We're already happy. We're fine.
You know the problem? You know what the problem is with working with the,
that's the problem. Come on. She's just really hot. That's all. And
all right, take it easy.
I don't want to live in an America where hot chicks don't get jobs they're not qualified for anymore if they're hot enough. That's all.
There's plenty of that going on. No worries.
That's still happening.
Just turn on your TV, do whatever you want to do. They're everywhere. I think one I met this morning, Wendy, is spectacular.
Yep, very attractive. Very, yeah, I was glad we hired her.
Very, very encouraging. It's not about how hot she is. It's about the fact she seems to be doing a good job.
Well, that's second on the list, but...
You may not know, Ralph, that her name is ends with an I.
I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah, and it has an H in it.
Wendy is spelled with an H and ends...
Wait a minute.
With
what?
I.
Yes.
And I said, first...
Where does the H go? And how W-H, do you have two I's?
And two I's at the end. And I said, first of all, you're going to have to change your name. And she said, no, I love it.
Is that the way they spell it on Pandora, whatever planet she's from?
I don't know.
Because I said...
Genetically spelled?
Immediately, the first thought I had is, when you turned 18, you murdered your parents, right? Because you were allowed after they gave you that name.
It.
She's like, no, I love it. It's great.
Her name's Wendy.
Yes,
Wendy.
Wendy. So two Stewie eyes. Griffin would
not just
spell
one eye,
her name.
But two eyes.
Wendy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Even with one eye would be offensive, but two
no,
eyes
I see
is just...
I see eyes at the end of
but
Wendy
you don't
all
see
the time.
W-H.
They never see W-H, no.
Wendy. That's bad on every level.
All right. Hurricane Irene.
Two eyes?
No, just the one eye.
Okay.
In the center of her.
Nicely
she's
done.
A hurricane!
Come on!
Nicely
I'm
done.
Back, everybody! She's being blamed for a 25% drop in movie revenues this week, and a lot of theaters were closed across the East Coast of these United States, so it didn't help a lot of films, but the help... Didn't need the help. $14.3 million made it number one again this week. Second week in a row, Columbiana was number two. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and its debut was third. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Our Idiot Brother, Spy Kids 4D, The Smurfs, Conan the Barbarian, Fright Night, and Crazy Stupid Love rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, I've got more passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Creature.
Mmm, tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
Well, you have to call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers will get a pair of passes to attend the very special advanced screening, which happens Thursday, September the 8th, and the movie is in theaters everywhere the next day on Friday. This is my kind of movie, because you know I love the low-budget creature features, the horror movies with monsters in them, and Creature is all about a creature in the Louisiana Bayou, in the swamplands, and some young people go there to explore, and they run across something they wish they hadn't.
And then they get turned into a human centipede?
They do not. They run into the creature.
Oh, I see.
And then that's bad.
How'd you like to be in the meeting, and I'm sure they had several to come up with a title for this movie, and ultimately settle on Creature?
Creature. I don't know. It's very descriptive.
Sure.
It's better than Shark Night.
3D.
3D.
3D, right.
I've seen the trailer. It looks like a lot of that movie takes place during the day. I don't understand. I'm confused already. Before I even get to the theater, I'm confused by Shark Night. Shark? 3D? They couldn't just go with Shark? That would be descriptive enough. It's a lot of sharks in that movie. That's all I know.
Sharks.
Congratulations to Sofia Coppola, the actress and director and daughter of Francis Ford Coppola. She got married over the weekend in Italy to Thomas Mars of Phoenix. She likes guys in the music business.
She does.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Beforehand, her first husband was Spike Jones, of course, a famous video movie director before he started making movies. And apparently it was quite the event. 80 guests were there. It was a small event held in a tiny little town in Italy, apparently where her ancestors are from. Francis Ford's grandfather, I guess, grew up in this town. And Francis Ford Coppola apparently has put a lot of money into this town, trying to raise awareness for tourism and stuff like that, has built some fabulous palazzos and that kind of stuff there. Johnny Depp and George Lucas were in attendance, amongst others. And it was a lovely event, apparently, according to everyone. Who won't be getting married, we now know, is Derek Jeter and Minka Kelly. They've called it quits. They were together for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they were together for that long, yeah.
I didn't realize
apparently,
that.
Apparently, he just couldn't see himself dating one of Charlie's Angels, I guess. That's what broke his heart. No, I have no idea what broke him up. But
she's hot. She's a good deal. We visited a little bit last week the Derek Jeter history with the girlfriends. He's had both of the Jessicas. Tyra Banks, he dated. Mariah Carey, he dated. I think Alejandra Ambrosio, I think he dated her too. Vanessa Minnello. I mean, it's just a crazy Rolodex that this guy's worked through.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself. Leonardo DiCaprio is still dating Blake Lively, according to sources. In fact, they went out to dinner last weekend with her father, Blake's dad, who was celebrating his 64th birthday. According to sources, Leonardo got him a gift of a coloring book.
A coloring book.
Either that has some sort of significance that we are not privy to, or Leonardo was doing his shopping at the airport.
That's the only thing I can imagine. He was late for dinner and just flew in and just picked up whatever he could find there at Hudson News or whatever. Whatever booth he was passing by. He just grabbed the first thing he saw. Because I can't imagine why you give a 64-year-old man a coloring book unless maybe it's early onsets, Alzheimer's
yeah,
or something.
Maybe
like
that's it.
Could
on. Be. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't would give him something sharp he could hurt himself with. Speaking of dementia, did you happen to see Curb Your Enthusiasm last night?
No, I taped it.
Oh, all right. Well, you'll enjoy that.
I was watching the MTV
Larry
Awards.
Has a run-in with a gentleman who has dementia.
Oh, no.
And it loosens his tongue significantly when it comes to his opinion of the different races.
Oh, no.
And Larry is shocked and taken aback by it. So.
The Alzheimer's shows can't be very fun for you, Kevin, I would imagine, if you watch them, right? I mean, that's just because you're looking into...
I don't understand what you're saying.
You're looking into a very near future.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
How dare you. Hey, Punk'd is coming back. Everybody excited?
All right.
The return of Punk'd. The Ashton Kutcher produced show.
Is it Ashton Kutcher?
No, he's too busy. He's on Two and a Half Men.
Good, because he was the annoying part of that show.
He cannot jump out and say, you got punked. So now he is recruiting his celebrity friends to do the punking for him.
Mm.
Apparently the season premiere features Justin Bieber punking Taylor Swift.
Well, he sure is hilarious. We've seen his comedy on YouTube.
Him with the ice cream. Oh.
Boo!
Laugh, I thought I'd... Laugh. Justin apparently jumps out and tells Taylor that she can sing. Punked! See, because she can't.
Because she can't.
We got there.
I get that.
And then she does the same to him. What was that outfit he was wearing there at the MTV Video
Music Awards
last night?
I don't know. Monocle? What was he?
He had a monocle and it was Groucho glasses with a mustache and a nose. And it had a boa constrictor wrapped around his leg. And then he had like a chia pet or stapled to one...
I don't understand any of it.
There was a very clowny outfit he had going on there.
Like bright red, like leggings or something, and then like some sort of cheetah sneakers. And yeah, he was carrying a snake around. He had a bunch of chains around his neck. It was crazy. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the Biebs.
He's got to be put down.
I think he may.
He's trouble. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lea Michele of Glee is 25 years old today. John Hensley from Nip Tuck turns 34. Carla Gugino celebrates her 40th birthday. And Rebecca De Mornay, actress probably best still known for Risky Business, the film that made Tom Cruise a big star, 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have You Escape from a Cult.
Which there seems to be a lot of people listening to this show that maybe have escaped from a cult.
The cult? No. Are we talking about? A cult, an actual cult.
Because right, I was at a cult show once, and and friends were expecting
Rose
me
McGowan.
And I snuck out the back.
Was talking about how she escaped from a cult, so we're going to do that topic. We're going to do Would You Like to Take That Back tomorrow. We have too many. We've been saving them up. We had to wait for Ralph to get back. And we have half of Oasis, the songwriting half, which is Noel Gallagher in our studios tomorrow morning. He's got a brand new CD coming out of solo material. So he's going to be in our studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.